According to the way we pass on the halacha, there are not chamishu chumshei Torah. We call it a chumish because there are five svarim in the chumish. We pass on the halacha that there are seven chumashim. You can't use the word chumish anymore. There are seven svarim in chamishu chumshei Torah. And the Gemara says like this, because based on the pasuk in Mishlei, chachmas bonsa beisa chotzva amudeh shiva. There are seven pillars. For the chachmas atar, the seven pillars are the seven svarim. Which are the seven svarim? The Sefer Bamidbar is divided into three. Up until Vahimetzoh Ha'aron is one Sefer. Vahimetzoh Ha'aron and Menucha Yoyim are the two psukim in the middle of Parshas Bahadoyscho is a separate Sefer. That's right by Shishi. It shouldn't be. We'll explain in a minute. And then from after Menucha Yoyim, Vahihom Kim Senenim, from there till the end, is the third Sefer, the beginning of the third Sefer in Bamidbar. The Gemara has a din, a Mishneh, Maseches Yadayim. There's a din midirabbanon that kisra kodesh ametamenes hayadayim. They wanted to prevent people from violating the din. There's a din midirabbanon that you're not allowed to touch kisra kodesh with your bare hands. Oiches sefer Torah orim nigbar orim. You're doing an avera by touching the cloth of the sefer Torah. So in order to deter people from touching the parchment of the sefer Torah, they made a takana midirabbanon that whoever touches the sefer Torah, it's metamenes hayadayim. That's how the Gemara says in the first parak. Masechah Shabbos, that's the reason for the Gzer Drabon. So what happens if you have, let's say, a Sefer that was ripped apart? Let's say you have a Chumash Bereshis, you have a Bereshis, and it was torn apart, and you only have half of Bereshis. So the Mishnah says there's still Metamis Ayadayim. What if you only have one Uriah from Bereshis? Is that Metamis Ayadayim or not? So the Mishnah in Masechah Ayadayim says, what if you have a Uriah from Bereshis, and a lot of the letters are worn out, are missing, rubbed out, are missing? So how many letters do you have to have on the cloth, on the parchment, on your ear, that it should be metamis hayadayim? So the Mishnah says, pei hei oisius, 85 letters, because in this sefer, this middle sefer, and it happens to be in Bahaloscha, this middle sefer on Bamidbar is divided up into the three svarim, so the nurim hafuchim, before and after, indicate that it's a separate sefer. Usually the din requires that you have to have four blank lines. The four blank lines between Bereshis and Shmos, the four blank lines between Shmos and Vayikra, between Vayikra and Bamidban here, in between these three Svarim, there are not four blank lines, you just have the Nunim Hafuchim, but the Mishnah assumes it's a Machlokes HaTanaim. We pass from Halacha like this. Mishnah assumes Halacha that this is a separate Sefer and it only has Pehei Oisios. So you see that's the minimum amount of letters you can have in a Sefer that should have the status of a Sefer. So based on that, the Mishnah says that if you have a Uriah, from a Chumash Mosa, from a Chumash Bamidbar, whatever, and you have a lot of letters, but rub that. If you still have Pei HaYisir, then it's Metamei Sayyidayim. It's a big Kiddush that this is considered a separate Sefer Bifnei Atzmai. Parshas Bahaloyscha has one of the Rambam's Yud Gimel Ikori HaAmuna. The Rambam writes that in his opinion there are 13 Ikori HaAmuna. And two of them are the following. Number one, we believe in prophecy. We believe that it's possible. There are those who don't believe that prophecy is possible, and they don't believe that prayer is meaningful. How can there be any communication between God and man? God is infinite, and man is finite. It's logically impossible. And we say, logic kind, logic modern. We experience Nevuah. We were all there. The Rabbi Shalom spoke to Shish and Reba. There were 2 million people there at Maimon HaSinai. There was Nevuah, and then we knew. Because we experienced the Nevuah, so we know that Moshe Rabbeinu was a true Navi. We know that other Navim are true Navim. So there is such a thing as the Rabban Shalom communicating to man, there is such a thing as Nevuah. And included in that Iker and Amunah, that there is such a thing as Amunah, that there is effectiveness to Tefillah. That we, just like he can communicate with us, we can communicate with him. We talk to the Rabban Shalom and he's Shema Tefillah, he listens to the prayers. He decides whether he's going to agree with our request or turn it down. But there is such a thing as communication between God and man. So the Rambam says this is one Iker and Emunah, we believe in Nevuah. And number two, we believe that the voice Moshe Rabbeinu is on a higher level. Moshe Rabbeinu was the Adon HaNevim. So that's a question, what did the Rambam mean with that Iker and Emunah? Where did he get it from? So that's what Rav Soloveitchik pointed out. He got it from Parshas Bahaloscha, where Miriam and Aharon spoke Lashon Hara against their brother Moshe. They meant it l'tovosa, they didn't mean l'ra. That's what the Chofetz Chaim points out. Look how Miriam was punished. She spoke Lashon Hara against her brother. She meant l'tovosa. She wanted to straighten out Moshe Rabbeinu. Who in the world does he think he is? He's so arrogant, he thinks he's bigger than everybody else, that he divorced his wife. I'm a Neviyah. My brother Aaron is a Navi. We didn't have to get divorced. So why did Moshe Rabbeinu have to go such shtick? Why did he? Why was he Pirish Menu Isha? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to them and he says, you don't realize Moshe Rabbeinu is on a much higher madrega of Navi than you are. And the Rambam considers this one of the Ikari HaAmunah. What exactly is the Ikar in Amunah? What is the Ikar in Amunah that Moshe Rabbeinu gets an A+? Or he gets the Nevuah Award when he graduates college. So what does it mean he's the greatest Navi of all times? Greatest Navi of those before him and after him. And Yeshaya Navi gets an A. And Yirmiyah gets a B, or an A-. And Yechezkel gets gets a B+. But he's grading the Nevi'im. So this is an Ikar in Amunah. Moshe Rabbeinu gets an A+. What's the Ikar in Amunah? So Rav Soloveitchik explained, this is printed in an Hesped for his uncle, Rav Velvela. He was saying that there were many Talmid Chachamim in that generation, but Rav Velvela Soloveitchik was a different level of a Talm Chacham, totally different type of learning, a different level. And so he was talking about Moshe Rabbeinu, that the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu is a totally different level. Lo Yikein Avdi Moshe. That was the refrain that he kept on repeating in the Hesped. Lo Yikein Avdi Moshe. He kept on repeating that pasuk. So what is the significance of this pasuk? So he explained that the Rambam has a new Gimel Ikari Hamun, another Iker. Shazal Satar Lo Sehi Mochlefes. Lo Sehi Taraches Meis Atari Yisbarach Shmo. That the laws of the Torah are immutable, that they don't change. That's the main, that Ikir and Amunah, that's the main difference between the Orthodox and the non-Orthodox. The non-Orthodox, some of them don't believe in Torah and Hashemayim, even some of them who do believe in Torah and Hashemayim, believe that the laws can be changed. And the Orthodox position is that the laws of the Torah can never be changed. So why such an obstinate insistence on that? So why such an insistence that the laws of the Torah are cannot be changed? Why can't they be changed? What's so? Why the laws in every state, they have a constitutional convention every couple of years, and they touch up the laws. The laws were written in 1776. After they used to have people used to ride on horse and buggy, and they used to do different things. So if the whole society changed, the whole society changed. Since America was established, so they keep on changing the state constitutions. That is up to date. So what's so bad if you'll change the laws of the Torah? Maybe a human being can't change the laws of the Torah, but if the Rebbe Shlomo will appear to us, the Rambam says, no, that's impossible. If a Navi comes and he says, a Navi proves that he's a Navi with those Zemofs, and he comes and he says, Rebbe Shlomo told me to change the laws, so you know, Bevadoz, that is a Navi, a Sheker, and he gets an Einish Misa. Why such an insistence that the laws of the Torah cannot change? That's what Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, that both Rav Chaim Balozhin and the Baal HaTanya, who both wrote Svarim on Hashkofe, both say the same explanation, that the laws of the Torah, in addition to being a collection of laws, you have mitzvah sesei, you have mitzvah sleisesei, the laws of the Torah, when you put everything all together, it's a description of Elokus, a description of the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Pasuk says in Navi, Ani Hashem Lo Shanisi, Vatem Ani Ayikev Lo Chilisim, Ani Hashem Lo Shanisi, everything in the world is subject to change, except for the Rebbe Shlomo. He's not in the world. He's outside of the world. He created the world. He created the world that's always changing. The oats changed, the wheat changed, the grass changed, everything in the world. The human beings, the body changed, the animals changed, everything changes in the world, and the Bari Olam stays the same. So if the Torah is a description of the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Navi tells us, Ani Hashem Lo Shanisi, so that's why we assume that the laws of the Torah do not change. So you have here in the description of the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu is the greatest Navi, so the Pasuk says, the greatness was, Esmunas Hashem Yabit. He saw the image of God. What do you mean he saw the image of God? It says in the Pasuk in Dvarim, Ki Lo Yirisim Kol Tmuna. There is no Tmuna. God doesn't have any body. How can Moshe Rabbeinu be so great that he saw Tmunas Hashem Yabit? He had a hallucination if he saw Tmunas Hashem Yabit. So the answer is no. What the Pasuk means to say is, that the Rambam emphasizes this in the Pirush HaMishnayos and Chulin in Perek Yud Anasha, and he has it in the Mishnah Torah as well, that Nevuah by definition means Hayruah Shor. All the other prophets only got a Hayruah Shor, as opposed to Moshe Rabbeinu, he was given Dinim Lederes. Moshe Rabbeinu was given many Hayruah Shor also. Various Dinim that were the Hayruah Shor, they shouldn't leave over the month till tomorrow. The whole Pesach Mitzrayim was Zohar Rasha. Pesach Midbar, the first year they went Midbar. The whole Pesach Midbar was Zohar Rasha. He had a lot of Zohar Rasha. So there's a din of Nevuah. Hoy bal divrei Navi is chayv nisa b'dei shamayim. So the Minchas Chinuch has a kasha. Whenever anyone violates any mitzvah in the Torah, he should be chayv nisa b'dei shamayim, because Moshe Rabbeinu was a Navi. And if you violate what Moshe Rabbeinu said, should be hoy bal divrei Navi chayv nisa. So he suggests various terutzim. So the standard teretz that everybody gives today is the teretz that Rav Soloveitchik said 70 years ago. And it's written up, they wrote it in his name, that Oibral Dibre Novi Chai Misa is only if the Novi tells you a Dvar Nevuah, which is a Harashua. So whenever Moshe Rabbeinu said a Harashua, and the people, whoever would violate it, Taka Bi Chai Misa B'dei Shaman, that's Oibral Dibre Novi. But much of what Moshe Rabbeinu said, what it says in the Chumash, most of what appears in the Chumash, what Moshe Rabbeinu said, is not a Harashua. These are Dinim L'Doiris. So that's what it means. Moshe Rabbeinu is the greatest Navi, Tmunas Hashem Yabid. He's the only one who was given the Dinim L'Doris. The Dinim L'Doris, when you put them all together, constitute an image, a description of Elokus, of the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The other Nevi'im were only given Hayru Ashur, which are not a description of Elokus. Tmunas Hashem Yabid does mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has an image, has a body. No, Kilai Reason called Tmun, it means that Moshe Rabbeinu was the only one who was given Dinim L'Doris. Either Rambam himself asked that Avraham Avinu was given the mitzvah Bris Milah, and he was told that the mitzvah is going to be for all the future generations, and Yaakov Avinu was given the mitzvah of Gid Anosha. That's how the Rambam quotes the Medrash. Mitzvah was given to Yaakov Avinu. So he says, yes, it was given to Avraham Avinu as a Hayru Ashur. And then it was repeated at Har Sinai to Moshe Rabbeinu as a Din L'Doris. In Parshas Lech Lecha, it says that the Din applies throughout all future generations. That part was not told to Avraham Avinu. Only you have to split the psukim there. Some of the psukim were, according to this Rambam, some of the psukim were told to Moshe, to Avraham Avinu, but not all of them. When the pasuk says that this din applies throughout all the future generations, that was not told to Avraham Avinu.
Rabbi, how long does the Harah Shah apply to if we see, like by Moshe's son, that he was obligated to remember Bris Milah?
Harah Shah can be for 1,000 years, for a few thousand years. But if it's not L'Doris, literally, if it's not going to be all the way till the days after Mashiach comes, then it's called Hayru Ashur. Then it's not called the Din L'Doris. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik against it, the Minchas Chinuch's Kasha. Oibral Divrei Navi Chayv Misa means if you violate a Tzivui, which is a Dvar Nevuah, it's not enough that the one who's telling it to you got it B'Nevuah. It's B'Toris Nevuah. Much of what Moshe Rabbeinu said was B'Toris Nevuah. Whoever would violate that would Taka B'Chayv Misa B'Dei Shamayim. But everything that it says, Kemat, everything that it says in the Chumash in the name of Moshe Rabbeinu is a Din L'Doris. True, he was a Navi, and he told the Tosaf that this, he got the Nevuah. But it was said over B'Toris Torah, not B'Toris Nevuah. B'Toris Torah means Torah Mitzvahs, a binding L'Doris.
The Mishnah, I think, which the Ram said that in the Kiran isn't there, it's Machlokes what's the Mechayim mean?
Right.
That's this huge Machlokes Tamayim, it's Halayim.
No, according to the Rambam, it's a fundamental machlokes hatanim, huge machlokes in this one of the Yud Gimeli Kori Amuna. So one time in the Mishnah disagrees and thinks that you don't. Oh, not only Moshe Rabbeinu can say dinim l'doris, Avraham Avinu and Yaakov Avinu can also be given dinim l'doris. They don't have to repeat it by. Doesn't have to be repeated by Moshe Rabbeinu to become binding l'doris. And that has not been accepted, the Rambam says. We pass like the other Shita, that it was only given to Avraham Avinu and to Yaakov Avinu as a Hayru Ashur. And then it was given to Moshe Rabbeinu later in Har Sinai to make it into a Din L'Doris. It's a fundamental, not on the whole Torah Shebaal Peh, it's a fundamental machlekes in this Ikar and Emunah. So according to the others, there are only 12 Ikari Emunah. There aren't 13, right? You're given Ikari Emunah. So the way Rav Soloveitchik explaining these two ikorim are really identical. That the laws of the Torah cannot be changed. That's really identical with this secret that you say that Moshe Rabbeinu is the Adon Hanavim. What do you mean Adon Hanavim? It means he was the only one who was given Dinim L'Doris. He was also given Hayru Ashur, but he's the only Navi who was given any Dinim L'Doris. The other Navim were only given Hayru Ashur. So Parshas Bahaloscha is a very important parsha because of these two highlights. Number one, Parshas Bahaloscha has from three different svarim. By Midbar till the middle of Bahaloscha is one sefer. By Imitzohara and the two psukim is another sefer. And after Imitzohara until the end is a third sefer. So Bahaloscha has from three different svarim in it. That's why we paskin lahalacha. It's a different sefer. I said before, by hibin tzoha aroin is by shishi. And that's not really proper. That's what the achrayim point out. Shishi should really be somewhere else a few psukim before, because we have a minhag. It's not a din, but it's a minhag that you don't end on a dovara. You don't end on a bad note. Unless you have no choice. We had a couple of weeks ago. Sheyasa la'ashma bo. Vayikra enzov. Nisnach lachas kolel. Sheyasa la'ashma bo. Or Mos Yun Sushem de Mehem Bom. That's the end of the Sedra. I think Achre Mois. Mos Yun Sushem, or Achre Mois, Kedoshim Enzov, like that. Kedoshim Enzov. Mos Yun Mosa, Bevan Yugim Mosa, and de Mehem Bom. Period. That's the end of the Parshas. You have no choice. So there is no such din that you can't end on a Dovara, but it's a minig like that. The minig is based on the Gemara, that the Gemara says, there is a Mishnah in Megillah that you're not allowed to be mafsik, you're not allowed to make kaisofis in the middle of the Teuchecha and Bechul Kaisai. Middle of the Teuchecha and Kisov and Mikir, and then you're allowed to. But the meaning is that you don't make hafsakas, you don't make more aliyahs in the middle of the Teuchecha and Kisov either. So the Gemara has two explanations. What's wrong with making a break in the middle of the Teuchecha? So one Amara says that it's not right. We're going to say curses against the Jewish people. Ein abedin, the Rebbeinu Shalom feels uncomfortable that we're saying curses for his children, the Bnei Yisrael, and we're saying a bracha for him. The one who gets the aliyah says, Asher nasan lanu teres emes. He's giving a bracha to Rebbeinu Shalom, and the Baal HaKori is giving curses to Bnei Yisrael if he violate the averus. So that's why the minhag developed that you do the same in the Teuchecha and Kisavoy. The Gemara says, Mikra din, it only applies to the Teuchecha and Bechul Koisai, because Teuchecha and Bechul Koisai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying it directly. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving the brachas and the klodos directly. In Kisava, it's Moshe Rabbeinu speaking in the name of the Rebbeinu Shalom. So the Gemara says the curses are not as strong there because it's only Moshe Rabbeinu speaking. It's not HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking directly. But still, the meaning is that even in Kisava, we don't make hafsokas in the middle of the Teuchecha. So the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnayos writes, the meaning is in Megillah. The Rambam Pirush HaMishnayos and Megillah writes, and that's on Shulchan Aruch like that. The meaning is that you don't stop where there's a dovara. So here, if you're going to have shishi at the pasuk vahim and soha aroin, so chamishi ends off with the phrase v'anan Hashem yom aleim yom benosam min hamachane. So Rashi quotes from the Chazal from the Gemara Masechus Shabbos, why do you have nunim hafuchim lahafsik bein poronus lipuronus? Vayihu amki mesoninim right after vahim and soha aroin v'nucho yomar. So the next pasuk is a tragic story. Rabbi Yosef Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a fire. Many people lost their lives in the fire. Many people were killed. He called the place Tavera. So that's a Puranus. And the end of the previous pasuk is Binasa Min HaMachane. So Rashi quotes from the Gemara that they ran away from after Moshe Rabbeinu told all the dinim. They were running away from Har Sinai, running away whenever he gave a shir. Kitina kabarech me beis ha-sefer, like little children. When class is over, so they run away. What are they running away? They were learning Torah. They shouldn't run away. That's not right. But they're little children, so we don't punish them. But if an adult runs away, that's terrible. The Rebbe gives a shir, and after the shir is over, they run away. So if you run away, kitina kabarech me beis ha-sefer, that's a poronus. That's a terrible thing. So the way we have a meaning, not to begin an aliyah, not to end an aliyah, if you can avoid it, not to end an aliyah with a poronus, with a dovara. That's what the later svarim, the later achrayim write, that it's not right to have shishi right at the point vehimet sohar, because then chamishi is going to end off with benosam min hamachane. So you can make shishi earlier. Make it the six psukim earlier. It's not a problem. You can make shishi wherever you want earlier. So these are the two very important features of parshas Baloschi. One of the yud gimel ikori hamuna. That the Nevos Moshe Rabbeinu is on the highest level. And then you have the Vayihi ben Tzohar and the Sefer Shalem. So Behaloscha has three different svarim. First Sefer of Bamidbar, the second half of Bamidbar, and the middle part of Bamidbar, these two psukim, Vayihi ben Tzohar. We have a pasuk in Chumash Dvarim. One of the mitzvahs in the Torah is Zechiras Chet Miriam. We should remember how HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished Miriam. So what is the nature of the mitzvah? So the Chafetz Chaim quotes, and he has a sefer Zocha LeMiriam, one of the small svarim. He quotes from the Gemara, from the Sifrei, on that pasuk, we should remember that Miriam was punished for Lashon Hara. And we should remember, even though she said Lashon Hara against her brother, and she loved her brother, and Lashon Hara was in order to straighten him out. Who does he think he is? And then the Baruch Shalom says, no, faker, that Moshe Rabbeinu is onav mikol adam. He's more humble than everybody else. You're making a mistake. She thought that he was arrogant. He's not arrogant at all. Faker. So the that's how the Sifrei comments on the post. So Rav Soloveitchik used to say, how could that be? Lashon Hara is a terrible avera. The Gemara says, like avod avod is argin, rashvi chazdamim, a terrible, terrible, terrible. But you're going to make that, the zechiris, mean that it's something very important in hashkofer. One of the ikari amuna. What zechiris ket mirim is an ikari amuna, not to talk Lashon Hara. It's a serious avera. But you don't make it an ikari. You don't make it into a schir. So he thought that Rav Kook's pshat, Rav Kook has a siddur, oilus riyah. So he thought that what Rav Kook wrote over there was correct. Rav Kook says that the pshuto shel mikra, schir is chet mir, is to remember that Moshe Rabbeinu is the Adon Hanavim. That was Nizgala in Parshas Bahaloscha, and that's what Miriam made a mistake. She thought Moshe Rabbeinu was the same as her brother Aaron, same as her. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said no, she was punished because she made that mistake. That's how the... This is both in the Hasidic Shesvarim you have this, and the Masnagdic Shesvarim. The opening mission in Pirkei Avos, where it says, Moshe kibbel Torah miSinai. Moshe received the Torah at Har Sinai. That's the location where the Torah was received. So both Hasidic Rabbanim and Masnagdic interpret an additional level of interpretation. It's not at all a pshat. An additional knech. Moshe kibbel Torah because of his humility. miSinai. Because the Medrash says, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu let it leak out, he let it be known that he's interested in making a Gilui Shechina on top of the mountain. So all the mountains came to apply, that they all wanted that the Gilui Shechina should be on their mountain. And Har Sinai was a lowly mountain, so it never applied. So tall mountains came, the Alps and all the other big mountains came to apply. Har Sinai didn't apply. So the Baruch Shalom said, they're all arrogant. Har Sinai, because it's humble, because it's low and it's humble, that's why the Rabbanu Shalom chose to give it the Torah at Har Sinai, because of its humility. So that's how they write in the Svarim, Moshe kibbel Torah miSinai, because of his humility, that's why he was the one who received the Torah. Rav Chaim Volozhin has this. The Kedushas Levi has it also. So Rav Chaim Volozhin adds on, a moshel l'ma'adah v'doyma. He says, if you have a pot, you have a kli, and you have soup inside the kli. So let's say the kli has a trefa blia, yes? Let's say in the morning I cooked some trefa soup in the kli, so it has a trefa blia in the kli. And now I cook some kosher soup. So the trefa blia goes out of the kli and goes into the kosher soup and makes a tref. What if you have shishim in the soup against the thickness of the kli? So then the trefa blia will not make a tref. Is that physically possible, to have shishim in the soup against the thickness of the kli? So Shulchan Aruch says that you rarely have shishim, because usually years ago the tefanis of the kli used to be very thick, so you're not going to have shishim. If the tefanis are very, very thin, now they have in factories where they process food for millions of people, and they sell it. So you have a kli that's the size of this room, and so of course you have shishim in the soup inside Kenega, the thickness of the kli. Because the volume inside is tremendous. But years ago, when you talk about a kli that you use in a kitchen, a balabas uses, they say it's very, very rare that you're going to have shishim in the kli. If the walls of the kli are so thin that it's like a mathematical line, which is only imaginary, so then of course you're going to have shishim. The thicker the walls are, so the less soup it can contain. And the thinner the walls are, so then the more soup it can contain. If the thickness of the walls will be Mashahu, so it doesn't have 100% contents inside. If the thickness of the walls of the kli are less than Mashahu, it's only a mathematical line, means it doesn't really exist. It's mamish, doesn't exist. So then you have a maximum, then you have 100%. So Rav Chaim Volozhin has said, that goes on people learning Torah. People hold from themselves. So they hold from themselves, so that's like the thickness of the kli. So if the person is a Baal Gaiva, to the extent that he's a Baal Gaiva, so the base kibbul is smaller. To the extent that he's going to be humble, so the thickness of the walls is less, so the base kibbul is bigger, so he can be mekabel more. So Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe kibbul Torah mi Sinai, because he was so humble, so the walls were less than Mashahu. He said, Va'anachnu mo. Moshe and Aaron said, Va'anachnu mo. He's less than Mashahu. It's just a mathematical line. So that's why Moshe Rabbeinu, because he was so humble, that's why he was able to receive maximum Torah. That's Rav Chaim Volozhiner writes. Yeah, the insistence that the laws of the Torah never changed. The question is that we have a few dinim that did change. The Gemara says in Yibamas and Perek Ha'Oral, on the first half Perek Ha'Oral, that Avraham Avinu was given the mitzvah milah, so he only had the mitzvah to cut off the outer membrane, the thick membrane. Only later in the days of Yeshua ben Nun, he was commanded, Vishuv Malas ben Asol Shenis. He should perform a second bris milah. How can you do a second bris milah and the people already had a bris milah when they left Mitzrayim 40 years earlier? So the Gemara says, because when they left Mitzrayim at that time, they were covered with the din of Avraham Avinu. Then milah only consists of cutting off the outer membrane. And now they were told they have to cut off the lower membrane, which is a thinner membrane, the Or HaPriya. So Tosis screams on the Gemara, how can it be? What do you mean? Enovi v'shoy l'chadish dova me'ato. They should have given Yeshua ben Nun Misa. They should have declared that he's a Novi HaSheker. He says, the Rebbeinu Shlom changed his mind. And Mikan Allah boy, you have to have milah or priya. That's a Novi. You don't believe a Novi when he says the Rebbeinu Shlom changed one of the laws in the Torah. It's, unless the Novi says, l'hayra, sure. Unless he says, on this one occasion, the Rebbeinu Shlom wants you to do priya in addition. But if he says, from now on, the Rebbeinu Shlom changed the nature of the mitzvah of milah, in addition to cutting off the outer thick membrane, the Or HaOrla, you have to cut off the Or HaPriya. It should be a Novi HaSheker. So Tosfos says, Mistama Moshe Rabbeinu told them that in the future a Novi will come, and the Novi will tell you when to change the din. Because the Moshe Rabbeinu never said it, so they shouldn't believe Yeshua ben Nun.
Perhaps we could also say that it was commanded at, that the original milah was on Rosh Hashanah, the later milah was given at Har Sinai, but they couldn't do it in the desert because it was dangerous.
Yeah, the Gemara says that they didn't perform milah all the years because it was dangerous. Yeah.
Maybe Yeshua's just reminding them, oh, now we're in Israel, so now you can do milah to do it. I mean, maybe it wasn't like...
Yeah, but the Gemara understands the word Shuv Malas B'nei Yisrael Shenis. I mean, you're saying Pasha Pshat, there was a big national bris milah. There was a national bris milah right before Yitzias Mitzrayim for the purpose of bringing Korban Pesach. And then for 40 years, only Shevet Levi did the bris milah. The rest of the Shvatim were afraid to because of the weather conditions. It was unhealthy to perform, so they didn't perform bris milah. So the big national bris milah was not Malas B'nei Yisrael Shenis means the second big bris milah. Maybe that's the Pasha Pshat. But the Gemara has this additional level of interpretation. Shumalas b'nai sel shenis, even the people who already had a bris milah should be mal themselves a second time, because up until now it was enough with cutting off the Or HaOrla, the outer membrane. And Mikan Alabo, you have to cut off the lower membrane. So Tosfos said it must be that Moshe Rabbeinu said that a Novi is going to come. He didn't necessarily say when, who, and when that it's going to be Yeshua ben Nun when he comes to Gilgal. He said in the future a Novi will come and change it.
Then we say it's possible for the Navi to clarify it in the Ressa, like maybe Sibili on Belial clarifies the share of the Mizorah.
Yeah.
Maybe Yoshua was clarifying what Milah was exactly.
No, but the Gemara says they never did it until the days of Yeshua.
So
they changed it.
So he was clarifying that really.
So he was saying that they did wrong all the years. Moshe Rabbeinu did wrong. I don't think so. I don't think so. He said the din only applies Mikan Alabo. Up until now, it didn't apply. He's not clarifying Limafreya. He's saying only Mikan Alabo the din applies. You have another issue. The first daf in in Megillah, the Gemara says Enovi Rosh Hashanah Dova Meyato, and on that daf, the Ritva and the other Rishonim ask that the Tzuras Ha'osius were changed. Originally, when that's the Gemara in the second parak in Sanhedrin. Originally, in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, when they wrote Sefer Torah, the Sefer Torah were written in Ksav Levi Noah. The Aleph base was a totally different Tzuras Ha'osius. They have them in encyclopedias. They'll show you what the Aleph base looked like. The old Hammurabi stones that they have, written a different alphabet. And after when Ezra came back from Golas Babel, after the 70 years of Golas Babel, so Ezra changed the Ksav of the Sefer Torah to Ksav Ashuris. That's why we assume. Why is it called Ksav Ashuris? It's the Ksav Sha'olei Mohime Ashur. It came back from Babel. Babel is called Ashur. That was introduced. The other opinion in Gemara's second paragraph in Sanhedrin says, no, it was never changed. It was always Ksav Ashur. So why is it called Ksav Ashuris? If it didn't come from Ashur, Gemara says, no, it's a Ksav Mu'ushar. It's a beautiful ksav, very beautiful. As opposed to the Hammurabi script, as opposed to that ksav libanon, ksav ibris, which is a sloppier ksav. Yeah. But we don't accept that opinion. We assume la'aloch that the ksav was changed, that before the days of Yeshua ben Nun, they wrote the Sefer Torah in the ksav ivri, and the ksav libanon. And only from the days of Yeshua ben Nun on, they changed it. Only from the days of Ezra on, they changed it from the days of Ezra. And it's called ksav ashur, it's ksav sholei mohem ashur. So how do they have the right to change the whole ksav? The Gemara has on the first daf in Megillah, it cannot be that in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu there were no final letters. Mem, Nun, Pei, Tzadik, Chof. It cannot be that they didn't have a difference between the Mem Sofis, Mem in the middle of the word, Mem at the end of the word. If it was invented, Sofim Amorim, if it was invented by the Nevi'im, it's a violation of Ein Ovi Rosh HaLachadish Dov HaMiyata. That's how the Gemara says, the first daf in Megillah. So if that's a violation, to change the oisius at the end of the word, the final mem and the final nun and the final pei, final chav, final tzadik, but not spach tzoyfim amorim, that's a violation. To change the whole ksav, that's not a violation. How can Ezra change the whole ksav? So that's what the Rishonim work on that kasha. So a lot of Rishonim answer, no, Moshe Rabbeinu told them the ksav is going to change. It says in the Chumash, they should write this Mishnah HaTorah HaZois. It says the Melech should write Mishnah HaTorah HaZois. What does the word Mishnah mean? So the Gemara has one interpretation, ksav she asid lehishtanos, a ksav, a script that will be changed. And Moshe Rabbeinu told him, when he gave him the Torah, you're writing this Sefer Torah now in ksav ashur, in ksav ivris, or in ksav livayno, and there's different alphabet, but the day will come that a Navi will appear and tell you that now is the time to change the ksav to a different ksav. So that Navi was Ezra was the Navi, and he came and he fulfilled what Moshe Rabbeinu said in advance. So those changes were made already. The change with the Milo Priya was already made by Yeshua ben Nun. And the change of the script in the Sefer Torah was made by Ezra. Ezra brought it back from Ashur, Sav Ashuris. And the Rambam writes, there's still one din that's going to be changed, the Ore Miklot. The Rambam said, that says in Chumash. Moshe Rabbeinu wrote into the Chumash that Moshe Rabbeinu set aside three Ore Miklot. And they didn't begin to function until Yeshua ben Nun set aside the other three in Eretz Yisrael, then they began to function. And the pasuk says, "Mefurish ki yachav Hashem al kechas gevulcha." When we'll have Eretz Yisrael hashleima, all of Eretz Yisrael all the way till the Euphrates, that's really Eretz Yisrael hashleima. Then, v'yasavta l'chol shol sholam ala shol shayla. You have to add on another three ori miklat. So laws of love, they're going to be nine ori miklat. So the Rambam writes, "Ikir and Amuna," that the laws of the Torah don't change. The only law that's going to be changed is Ori Miklo, because it says that in the Chumash that it's going to change. So that was told to us by Moshe Rabbeinu. The other changes were told by Moshe Rabbeinu, but they already took place. So this week's parsha is a very important parsha.
Is there any hint in the Torah to the changing by the Mila?
That's what Tosis asks. There's no post, no remez at all. So Tosis in Ha'aral, the first half in Ha'aral, says it must have been Halachal Moshe Mesina. Moshe Rabbeinu must have told them that the Navi in the future will come and change it for you. But there is no hint in the Torah at all. Yeah. The parsha begins with the mitzvah of Hadlokas HaMenorah. There's a famous machlekes, the Rambam and the Rashbo and the Tshuvas HaRashbo. How often did they light the menorah? The Rambam's opinion is that they lit it baboiker ubaerev, twice. That they lit it in the morning and they lit it in the evening. And the Rashbo and the Tshuvas says that there is no such thing. They only lit it in the erev ad boiker. They're supposed to burn all night long, but they don't have to light in the daytime. In the morning, they did hatavas ha-menorah. In the morning, they cleaned out the menorah from everything, those neighbors that went out in the middle of the night. So they cleaned it out, and they put in new oil, and they put in new wicks. They prepared it for hadlaka for the next night. But not that the hatava means they cleaned it out, and they prepared it, and then they lit it again. Like the Rambam says. Rambam says hatava in the morning means they cleaned it out, filled it up, and then they lit it again. The Rashba and the Tshuva disagrees. That's what the Magen Avraham writes, that the minig is to send Shulchan Aruch, minig is to light the menorah in shul. So some communities have a minig to light the menorah in shul, not only at night, to light it in the morning also, zecher l'migdash. That according to the Rambam, they lit it in the Beis HaMikdash by Yom HaBalal. But the Rambam is the unusual opinion over here. The Pashtus is not like the Rambam. Pashtus is like the Tshuvas HaRashbo. There is a din that Zar Sheshimesh is Misa B'dei Shamayim. We spoke about the pasuk Hazor HaKorev Yumos. It doesn't mean a non-Jew who enters the Beis HaMikdash is put to death. It rather means a non-Kohen who does HaKrovus HaKarbonis is chay misa b'day shemayim. So the Gemara in Yuma has a whole discussion. The Gemara limits it. The Gemara restricts it. Hardly ever gets misa b'day shemayim. It's always an iser for a zar to do avayit. It's always an iser, but it's very rare that there should be misa b'day shemayim. So the Gemara makes out only four avayitas. There are only dalal avayitas. So the Gemara says, what about hadlokas hamenorah? What if a zar lights the menorah? How come there's no misa b'day shemayim on that? So the Gemara says, no, hadlokas lav avayitah. There's no misa b'day shemayim on that. So that's a machlokas, the Rambam and the Ravid. So the Ravid learns the pashut pshat in the Gemara. For some reason or another, there's no misa b'day shemayim. Hadlokas lav avayitah, it's not an avayitah for which there's misa b'day shemayim. The Rambam took the Gemara mamish literally. The Rambam says, hadlokas is not an avayitah, it can be done by a non-kohen. There's no aveira. Not only there's no misa b'day shemayim, there's no iser. Yeah, but we don't allow a non-kohen to walk into the heichal. The first 10 amos in the Azara, that's Mokam Amidas Raglai Yisrael. The Israelim can go there. After a certain point in the Azara, there's a chumra midirabbana. We don't permit non-kohanim to go. So how can the Rambam say that a non-kohen can light the menorah? So the Rambam has a funny, he writes a funny din. If a kohen will walk into the heichal and pick up the whole menorah, weighs a ton probably. You saw that menorah opposite the Harabais over there. If you pick up the menorah and bring it into the first 11 Amos in the Azara, and the Azara will light it, that'll be okay. Then the kohen will have to bring it back into the Hechel, because you're only in the mitzvah if you bring it in the Hechel. So the Rambam writes such a funny case. It says, Mutal lahatchila for a non kohen to light. So you see, from the Rambam, it's interesting. By Chanukah, there's a discussion in the Gemara whether hadlaka is a mitzvah, hanocha is a mitzvah. What if I did the hadlaka in a fashion that I wasn't yotze? Let's say I'll be madlik the menorah lemayli me'asar rama or lemata me'asar tfochim in a mokum where I wasn't yotze, and then I'll put it in a mokum where you are yotze. Do you say hanocha is a mitzvah if you do the hanocha but mokum hechsher, it's okay? Or do you say no, since at the moment of hadlok it was no good, so it's no good? So the Gemara has a discussion. The Gemara says even if you hold hanocha is a mitzvah, that case wouldn't be good for a different reason. But the Gemara has such a discussion. So the Beis Halevi in the Sefer HaChumash points out that in the Beis HaMikdash, the Rambam holds, Hanocha is a mitzvah. The Tzar will light it in the first 11 Amos where the non Kohanim are allowed to enter, Yud Aleph Amos, and then the Kohanim will bring it into the Hechel. So you see that it's not Hadlaka is a mitzvah, it's Hanocha is a mitzvah. Hanocha is a mitzvah. And by Neres Chanukah, we pass on Hadlaka is a mitzvah. That was the Gemara Sofek. Should Neres Chanukah be the same as Beis HaMikdash? And Beis HaMikdash, the Rambam claims that it's Hanocha is a mitzvah. Or should we say, no, Neres Chanukah is different. Mochomer. Neres Chanukah, we pass on Neres Chanukah is Mochomer. Neres Hadlokah is a mitzvah. So the parasha begins with the mitzvah of Hadlokah Samanurah. Then the parasha continues with Bechiris HaLevim. Part of the Seder of Bechiris HaLevim is that the Levim had to go to Mikveh. That's the Pashup Shat. It's not explicit, but that's the Pashup Shat in the Pasuk. What is the purpose of going to Mikveh? So the Pashup Shat is like, we spoke a few weeks ago, there are three types of tefillah in a mikveh. Sometimes you have odim v'kelim atomei, so the odim and the kelim go to the mikveh, so they become tohar. Oklum and mashkim, once they're mekabel tum, it doesn't help tefillah in a mikveh. The four categories of things that are mekabel tum, odim v'kelim, oklum and mashkim. So odim v'kelim have tefillah in mikveh, and oklum and mashkim doesn't help tefillah in mikveh. So one din of tefillah in mikveh is to be metahir, to remove the tumah of odim v'kelim. Another inyan of tefillah b'mikveh is to elevate the level of kedusha. If you have a non-Jew who wants to convert, so part of the geirus process is he has to be tovel in a mikveh. We paskin is likuva. Mobiloi tovel is a goy. And when there was bechiris halevim, they were endowed with a higher level of kedusha. We said a couple of weeks ago, the Yerushalmeach has a chiddush in the Meshech Chochma, that only the Kohanim have kedusha, the Levim don't have kedusha. He was a kohen. So he looked down on the Levim. So he said, Levim only had the shevet Levi. There's no kedusha slave. No such thing. So we usually assume not like that, Arsamech. We usually assume there is a Kedushas Levi. There is such a thing as Kedushas Levi. The Shevet Levi and the Kedushas Levi, two different things. So to elevate the level of the Kedushas, the Israelim who are becoming now Kedushas Levi, so they had to be Tovel in the Mikveh. Or a Kohen, when the Kohanim were chosen, so they had to go to Mikveh also. When a Kohen is going to put on Big Day Kuna. So the Gemara has a limud from the Pasuk, B'mansha Big Day Malayim Kunasam Alayim. Only when they're wearing Big Day Kuhuna, then they have the higher status of Kedushas Koinshe B'amigdosh. All year long, all week long, they have Kedushas Koinshe B'gvulat. They're not allowed to be Matamel Amazim, not allowed to marry a Grusha, and so on. But when they want to do Avoid in the Beis HaMikdosh, they have to put on Big Day Kuhuna. in order to gain, in order to acquire a higher level of Kedusha's Kuna. Kedusha's Kuna, Shabbat Migdash, for that, they have to go to Mikveh. A client who wants to put on Big Day Kuna can go to Lan Yom Kippur, puts on Big Day Kuna five times. He does, first he does Avodah Big Day Zav, then he does Avodah Big Day Lav, and then he does Avodah Big Day Zav, and so on. Keeps on switching back and forth. So five times when he's about to put on Big Day Kuna, he has to go to Mikveh. Five times Lan Yom Kippur. Because each time he goes to, each time he puts on Big Day Kuna, he's giving himself, he's attaining a higher level of Kedushas Kahuna. So that's the Pashta said, the Levim had to go to Mikveh to give them a higher level of Kedusha. The Pashta says, not like the Meshach Chachma said, that there is a Shevet Levi and there's also Kedushas Levi. That's how we usually assume. The Gemara in the second parak in Ksubis has a machlek, so Rekivir Ablaz Ben Azariah, to whom do you give Maaser Rishon? And the Chumash it says, you give it to a Levi. So which Levi do you give it to? Are you permitted to give it to a Kohen? Because the Gemara has points out in Tanakh, B'chavta Alev Nekoimis, the 24 places in Tanakh, Shenikru Kohanim Levim, the Kohanim are referred to as Levim. The Kohanim belong to Shevet Levi. So sometimes the din is, we say a Kohen is also a Levi. And sometimes we say a Kohen is Nishkan Levi. Tosis points out there's a Gemara in Bchoris. The Gemara in Bchoris, in the end of Bchoris, in the Perik and Pidyon Aben. Perik Yesh Bechor. So the Gemara has like this. If a Kohenis has a baby, let's say a Kohenis marries a non-Kohen, a non-Levi. So there's no chi opinion aben. If a Leviah has a baby, also no chi opinion aben. Kohanim and Levim, there's no chi opinion aben. Not only if the father's a kind of Levi, so the child is a kind of Levi, even if the father's not a kind of Levi, the mother's a Kohenis a Leviah. Also the Gemara says, Bepeta Rechem Tala Rachmana. So if the mother's a Kohenis a Leviah, so there's no mitzvah opinion aben. What if the Kohenis is married to a non-Jew? So the Gemara says, she's Nivela L'Pasola. She's not allowed to eat Truma. She's not allowed to marry a Kohen after she's living with a non-Jew. So she loses her Kedushas Kuna. So by the time the baby is born, the man married her 9 months ago and he's living with the woman. And then by the time the baby is born, she's always Kohenis. She's not a Kohenis anymore. So you can't say, when the baby bounced out, baby came out of the Rechem, it was the Rechem of a Kohenis. She's no longer a Kohenis. 9 months ago, she lost her Kedushas Kuna. The Gemara says that, but what if it's a Levi who's living with a Goy? So then the child is potter from Pidyon Aben, because B'Tetarechem Talarachmona, the Leviah remains a Leviah, but Kedusha's Leviah, despite the fact that she's living with a non-Jew. That's what it says in Yerideya. That's the Din of Shulchan Aruch. So Gemara, that's the Din of Shulchan Aruch. So Tosis is bothered with Akasha. The Kohenis, every Kohen is also a Levi. So when the Kohenis is Nivel L'Apostolo, she's living with the non-Jew, so true that the Nochri, who's living with her, ruins a Kedushas Kuna, Nivela L'Pasalo, she's Ois Kohenes, but she's still a Leviah. So when the baby is born, let her, she's a Leviah, but Petarachim Tarachmana, she'll be Potter from Pidyon Aben. So Tosis says, no, it's not true. Whoever has Kedushas Kuna is not a Leviah, doesn't have Kedushas Leviah. Yeah, but V'chav Talib becomes Nikra Kohanim Levim, the Kohanim are Levim. So the answer obviously is that they're two different Dinim. There's a din of Shevet Levi, and there's a din of Kedushas Levi. Meshach Chachman did away with the Kedushas Levi. It doesn't exist. Okay. But we usually assume not like that, Meshach Chachman. We assume there's a din of Shevet Levi and Kedushas Levi. When we say, B'chof Dalet B'kamis, Nikru Kohanim Levi, means that the Kohanim belong to Shevet Levi. But they have Kedushas Kuna. Whoever has Kedushas Kuna doesn't have Kedushas Levi. So when the Kohenis is Nivola to the Nochri, he cancels her Kedushas Kuna, Nivola L'Pasla P'sola. She remains from Shevet Levi, but you can't say she still has Kedushas Levi. And the din that Bepeterech Mitad Rachmana, that depends on a woman who has Kedushas Leviah. So this woman doesn't have Kedushas Leviah. Since she had Kedushas Kuna, she never had Kedushas Leviah. Either you have that or you have that. You don't have both. That's the Pashtus that we usually assume that the Levim had to go to Mikveh to elevate the level of Kedusha, that there is such a concept as Kedushas Leviah. And that's exactly the Machlokes Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Loza, and Azariah. Are you Yoytze min HaTorah if you give the Maaser Rishon to a Kohen? So the Rambam paskens that you're not Yoytze. You have to give a Dafke to a Levi. Why Dafke to a Levi? But B'chof Talib and Kam is Nikru Kohanim Levim. A Kohen is also a Levi. The answer is a Kohen is a Levi in the sense that he belongs to Shevet Levi, but he doesn't have Kedushas Leviah. That's what Tosfos pointed out in the Gemara. One has Kedushas Kuna, doesn't have Kedushas Leviah. That's the machlek. So Akiva and Ablaz and Azariah, to whom do you give Maaser Rishon? Do you give it to the Levi who has Kedushas Leviah? And then you can't give it to a kohen. That's how the Rambam paskens. Or do you give it to a person who's part of Shevet Levi? So Menatari, you can also give it to the kohen. So we pask Menatari, you're not Yotze if you give it to a kohen. You have to give it to a Levi, because you have to give it to one who has Kedushas Levi. We assume there is such a thing as Kedushas Levi. So the Torah has a whole Seder. Right after Hadlok and Samner, the Torah has the whole Seder of Kiddush HaLevim. They had to bring special Kabbalahs, they had to do Tanufa on the carbon, they had to do tenufa on the levim. Wow. All Seder. Then the Torah says, from the age of 25 on, that's when they start to do the Avodah and Beis HaMikdash. We pointed out, the Gemara points out, Chulin, Daf Chav Dalet, that earlier in Parshas Bamidbar, it says from the age of 30 on. Here it says from the age of 25 on, it's a stira. The Gemara says it takes 5 years to learn. They have to be apprentice. They have to act as an apprentice for 5 years to learn the whole Melechas HaMishkan, to learn what they're supposed to do, and after 5 years then they know it. So the Gemara asked Akasha, how come here it takes 5 years? And in Sefer Daniel it says that when they had to study political science in order to work in the government offices by Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian government, so it says over there they had a 3-year course. How come there it's 3 years and here it's 5 years? Gemara says that to learn political science is easier. That only takes 3 years. To learn Melechus HaMishkan takes 5 years. So then the Gemara has a machlokes satanai. What about everything else? What about every other discipline? Every discipline basically takes 5 years. An exception to the rule is politic. Politics is easier. But he say no, all disciplines basically take 3 years, and Melechus HaMishkan takes 5 years. That's more difficult. So that's a machlokes satanai. So that's a machlokes satanai. If a person is learning in the Kol already 3 years, v'lo hitzliach, so do you drop him from the Kol? Or do you say, no, maybe it takes 5 years till he catches on, till he really figures out what's going on. If he's learning 3 years, v'lo yaroh, simen bracha, so do you kick him out of the Kol? Because that's it? Or does it take 5 years to be roi simen bracha? Sometimes it takes 5 years. So that's a machlokes satanai. So we said over a couple of weeks ago, we said over from the Rashash and Ksubas on Daf Nun, that the Tesis and the Rishonim are bothered with the stira. The mission says in Pirkei Avos, you should get married at the age of 18. That's the shot at the beginning of the 18th year, the end of it, when 17, we would say 17, at the end of the 18th year, when you're 18. Then the Gemara says in Kiddushin, if a man is not married by the age of 20, the Rebbeinu Shlomo is going to be upset. So all the Rishonim ask the question, is it 18 or is it 20? What is the correct age? So a lot of Rishonim answer, well, he's supposed to get married at 18. It takes him a while till he meets the right girl. So he should hustle, he should hurry up to try to see to it that in the 2 or 3 years, he started at the age of 18. By the age of 20, he should already pick a girl and get married by then. That's the Pashat the answer. So the Rashash has a fantastic suggestion that the Gemara says, Gemara has an expression, Rechaim b'tzavar v'yasek b'tera. If the guy's going to have an ol ha-parnos, if he's going to get married, he's going to have an ol ha-parnos, he has to make a living to support his wife and his children, so how can he learn Torah? So that expression appears in the Gemara in connection with a person has a question, should he learn or should he get married? And in Ebenezer, on the first page, the Beis Shmuel quotes that. Beis Shmuel raises a question, when a boy is 13 and he's chayv in mitzvah, he's bar mitzvah, then why don't we say the first day of his bar mitzvah, he's mechuyif to get married and raise a family. So the Beis Shmuel answers, he's too young, he has to learn some more. He's only 13. Ben Eser le Mishnah, Ben Chamesh Esrei le Talmud. Yes, the first learn. You don't tell him he should get married at the age of 13 when he's chayv in mitzvahs, because he's not ready yet. He has to learn some more. So how long does he have to learn? So that's what the Rashash says. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that says when Shemana Esrei L'chuppah assumes that it takes 3 years to figure out what's going on in Talmud. To figure out the Derech HaLema should take 3 years. So he starts learning Talmud at the age of 15, Mechamesh Esrei the Talmud. And 3 years will be Roya Simen Brocha. Shain said, that's it. So get married at the age of 18. And the other Gemara that says 20, that goes with the other sheet in Chulan Daf Chav Dalet, that it takes 5 years till he figure out what's going on. 5 years to succeed. That's Machlek, which is the rule and which is the exception to the rule. Whether the Levium took 5 years, and in Daniel the politicians took 3 years, which one is the rule and which is the exception to the rule? So that's his suggestion. So yeah, so the way he suggests that it takes 5 years, so then many of us don't begin to really learn until you go to Eretz Yisrael. So then you got another 5 years after that. So you really figure out what's going on.
What's the Hagdara of success?
It's also a good question, what's the Hagdara of success? That's a very good question. I don't know. Got to work on that too. How often?
How often do you throw someone out?
Yeah. Success means, does he know what it says? Does he know what's the din of Chumash? What's the din of the Mishnah? What does Abai say? What does Rabbi say? What does Rashi say? What does Tosafot say? Success. A lot of people make a mistake. They think that success in learning means I can ask a murderous kasha and stump the Rebbe. Or Rebbe Kivega has the kasha and writes Hashem Yoy Reinai, and I have a good answer. I say the answer. I'm the Rebbe Shalom. Hashem Yoy Reinai, and I said the answer to Rebbe Kivega's kasha. So that's Gevaldiga success. That's good successful. But people shouldn't feel that because they can't ask murderous kashas, like Rabbi Kivega asks, Akashi doesn't have a teretz, so they can't give a teretz on Rabbi Kivega's kasha. You shouldn't think that they're not being successful. Successful means, if you know, what does it say in Chumash, and what did Rabbi Meir say, what did Rabbi Yudah say, how did Abaye understand, how did Rabbi understand, how did Rashi understand, how did Tosafot understand, Shai, what does it say in Shulchan Aruch? That's called successful. That's success, as long as you know what it says. You have to really understand it deep. That's Ein L'dov Asof. That's the Gemara comments on the pasuk. Aruch Eretz Mid, Rochav Miniyam. That the Amkus of Avodah Torah is very, very, very deep. So that ain't lo shir. But as far as what's called success in learning, that's called success. A lot of people are not successful because they talk it into themselves that they can't succeed because they see that they're not as bright as the sharpest kid in the class. Sharpest kid in the class keeps on stumping the Rebbe, keeps on asking murderous kasha. Rebbe says, I don't know, I have to look it up. So that's quite a degree of success. To stump the Rebbe, to ask murderous kasha, that's a very high degree of success. But that's not the main success. The main success is to know what it says. The Stipler writes about this. What's the definition? In the Sefer Chayei Olam. What's the name of the Sefer? Chayei Olam, I think. There's a few essays about that. Success means if you know what it says in the Gemara, that's success. The Chasam Sefer, in the Sefer Chutam Shulosh, which is a biography of Rabbi Kiveger and the Chasam Sefer and the Ksav Sefer. Rabbi Kiveger was the father-in-law of the Chasam Sefer. Chasam Sefer had three wives, one after the other. The first two wives died. The second wife was the daughter of Rabbi Kiveger. He was one year younger than Rabbi Kiveger. So obviously it wasn't his first wife, it was his second wife. And then he had a son, the Ksav Sefer. So one of the Ksav Sefer's sons wrote the Sefer, all the family stories about Rabbi Kiveger and the Chasam Sefer, and about his father, the Ksav Sefer. So he writes there that a student came to learn in the Chasam Sefer's yeshiva and had a very shvach cup. He couldn't concentrate for so long. He didn't understand anything. So the Chasam Sefer accepted him in the yeshiva, and he was mechayev every bocher to learn with the boy an hour a week. You have to learn an hour a week. You have to learn with him an hour a week. So each one learned with the guy, and he chazed with him, and he learned, and he got smicha, and he got a rabbinical position in a little village in Hungary. They don't say who he is. And then they say that some of the tshuvas in the Chasam Sefer's collection of shaylos tshuvas were to him. He asked reasonable shaylos, not silly, not stupid shaylos. He asked reasonable shaylos. And he functioned as a successful rabbi. Success doesn't have to be the best guy in the class. That kind of class gets an award when he graduates. And the other students are successful. They all passed, so they don't get an award. But they also were successful. Then right after the Bechiras HaLevim, after the 25, right after that, you have the mitzvah of Pesach Midbar. Pesach Mitzrayim was clearly a Hayra Shoah. To put the dam on the Shtei Mezuzos and the Mashkov, as opposed to putting the dam on the Mizbeach. And they didn't burn the Emurim on the Mizbeach. There was no Mizbeach. The whole Korban Pesach Mitzrayim was a Hayra Shoah. Pesach Midbar was also a Hayra Shoah, we paskin. Because in the first peg, the end of the first peg in Kedushin, around Daf Lamed Zayin or so, we assume that the obligation to bring Korban Pesach Mikra Adin is only Kisavoy Ol Ha'oretz, when you come to Eretz Yisrael. Before you come to Eretz Yisrael, there's no Chiyav to be Makar Korban Pesach. So what was the Pesach Midbar? The whole thing was a Hayra Shoah. The whole thing was a Hayra Shoah. So that's why it says, they had a shayla. People were tamei. They were unable to bring the korban pesach to participate. So he asked the shayla, "What should we do?" So Kadosh Baruch Hu tells them, "Lachem oladarasechem, whether for now pesach midbar, which is hayrashah, oladarasechem for the future generations when it'll be a real din. Whether for this hayrashah for the future, the din is ishki atamei lanefesh abaderech chalkol lachem oladarasechem." Because of Pesach Lashem, let him bring Pesach Sheni. So So that's why the pasuk has to mention both lachem or the darasechem. Whether for this hayruah shoah korban pesach, pesach midbar was hayruah shoah, or the darasechem for the future generation is going to be a real din. There's an institution of pesach sheni. What's pesach sheni? So that's a famous machlokes hatanaim, Rebbe and Reb Nosson, whether pesach sheni is tashlum in the rishon or pesach sheni is a regal bifnei atzmai. Whoever participated in Pesach Rishon doesn't bring Pesach Sheni. But the Shaila is those who didn't participate. Tell me, they're Chachokah, so they bring Pesach Sheni. Is that a din of Tashlumen? The Chiyuv really was on Pesach Rishon. And you yotze the mitzvah now, a month later. Or do you say, no, whoever didn't bring Pesach Rishon, it's not a Tashlumen. This is the din, you bring Pesach Sheni. What's an Afgemina? So Gemara says that Afgemina is Kotn Shehigdil Ben Rishon L'Sheni, or Gershin is Gai Ben Rishon L'Sheni. He wasn't even Jewish when it was Pesach Rishon. He converted after Pesach Rishon, and Pesach, he converted in between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni. So if it's a din of Tashlumin, so he was never Mechuyiv. He was a Kotna, he was a Nachri. So he wasn't obligated to rule in Pesach Rishon. So then he doesn't have to bring Pesach Sheni. We don't paskin like that. We paskin that Pesach Sheni is not a Tashlumin in the Rishon. Even the Gershon is Gaiten, Kotchen Shehigdil, also brings Pesach Sheni. Whoever didn't participate in Pesach Rishon is obligated to participate in Pesach Sheni. The Netziv has a commentary on this Sifrei. So he writes, sometimes he comes up with very original ideas, very, very, in his commentary on Chumash, the whole thing is original. His commentary on Shir HaShirim, every phrase is original. He gives, every phrase in Shir HaShirim gives you a new interpretation. Unbelievable. Well, based on the Mekoris in Chazal, but it's a very original thing to see here, he claims that there's a third Tana. We always assume there are two Tanaim. One Tana says Tashlum Elarishon, so the Kotn Shehigdil and the Gershon is Gar Ben Taim would not be Chayiv. The other one says it's not Tashlum Elarishon, so Regel Bifnei Atzmai. So the Nachkamin is by Kotn Shehigdil, Gershon is Gar. He claims that in the Sifrei there's a third Tana. Really not Mefurish, but this is his deal. He's Medayik like that. Third Tana who distinguishes between the Kotn Shehigdil and the Gershon is Gar. All that is Tashlum Elarishon. So there's no Tashlumen for the Gershon is Geir. He wasn't Jewish at all. He wasn't Mechuyev at all. But the Kotn Shehigdil, the Kotn is Jewish. So a Kotn is a Lab Bar Chiyuva. He's not Mechuyev to do the mitzvahs be Katnusoy. But you can have a Chiyuv Chal on a Kotn that Likeshe Yagdil he should be Mechuyev. So he claims that there's a third Tan in this Ifrei who splits between the two. That the Gershon is Geir Ben Taim would not be Mechuyev in Pesach Sheni. And the Kotn Shehigdil would be Mechuyev in Pesach Sheni. That by a cotton sheik, that you can have a chiyuv chal on a cotton, not a chiyuv on a cotton that is mechuyev to do the mitzvah b'katnusa. It's chal on a cotton that l'kishe yagdol he'll be mechuyev. This is the rush in the end of Moed Cotton has like that the name of the Maharam Rutenberg. He writes like that. That a cotton shehigdol in the middle of shloshim is mechuyev to observe shiva. So the Maharam Rutenberg has such a chiddush that the chiyuvim can be chal on a cotton likishe yagdol for later. It's a big chiddush. The Mishnah says beferish that if someone was onus in Pesach Rishon,
why is it only if he's igdol touch shloshim or if he's igdol touch likishe?
Then it's a shmor rechayka, he says.
So they still have to do one day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a discussion, the Rosh in the end of Tainis, where they're reciting Havdalah on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday till Shkia. Is that Tashlumin or is that that's Matzoy Shabbos? It's not Tashlumin. The Rosh discusses regarding an Oinen. If someone was an Oinen on Matzoy Shabbos and he wasn't Mechuyev in Havdalah, so that's another question. But the Oinen means Oinen is not Mechuyev at all in mitzvahs, the Oinen is Mechuyev and he's not allowed to do the mitzvahs. That's another machlekes. So on the assumption that the Oinen is not Mechuyev at all, so then if you assume that reciting Havdalah Sunday, Monday, Tuesday is Tashlumen, so how can you have Tashlumen? He wasn't Mechuyev at all. He was an Oinen. He was Pater. If you assume an Oinen is Pater. Rav Soloveitchik liked the other sheet that the Oinen is not Pater. The Oinen is Mechuyev and he's also to do the mitzvah. That's a big machlekes in the Rishayin. What's the nature of the din of Oinen? Yeah, the Mishnah says beferish that if somebody was an onus on Pesach Rishon, you bring Pesach Sheni. And the Gemara doesn't make a tzimis about it. The Gemara doesn't think that there's any debate. So Rabbi Chana Wasserman points out, there's a din, if a person forgot to daven mincha, b'shoigeg, or forgot to daven shachris, whatever, so he makes tashlumin by the next tefillah. He should daven the next, whatever the next tefillah happens to be, daven the Shemana Esrei, step back 3 steps, and then walk back 3 steps and say a second Shemana Esrei, the shame tashlumin for the one that he missed. If it's hizid, if b'mezid, he knew that it's time to daven, and b'mezid he didn't daven, so there's no tashlumin for a mezid. But if shogag, then there is tashlumin. So there's a machlekes sachrayim, what's the din of nanas? What if the person was, he took sick, he physically sick, they did a surgery on him, and he was out. He wasn't able to daven at all. So should you say, the Gemara has an expression, Einus Rachmana Patre. If the person was an Einus and he didn't do a mitzvah, he did an Averis, Einus Rachmana Patre. So how do you, Rabbi Yosef Engel raises the question. Einus Rachmana Patre means that he's potter from a punishment, potter from the Einus. Einus Rachmana Patre means that he's potter from the Chiyuv. Under the circumstances of Einus, the Torah is not mechayiv us to do mitzvahs if we're in a situation of Einus. So if he's an Einus Rachmana Patre, potter from the Chiyuv, potter from the chiyuv, so then there shouldn't be any tashlumin. So that's where Rabbi Chana raises the question. Why doesn't the Gemara raise an issue over here? It says, whoever was honest on Pesach Rishon brings Pesach Sheni. But if you hold, we happen to pask in Pesach Sheni as a regal b'fnei atzmo. Whoever didn't bring Pesach Rishon for whatever reason, he was a goy. He brings Pesach Sheni. So the way we pask on halacha is no problem. But if you're like the other Tana, and the Gemara keeps on talking back and forth, if you're like this Tana, that Tana, so if you hold like the Tana that Pesach Sheni is Tashlum and Larishayin, and you hold that in honest Rachmana Patre, you potter from the Chiyuv Mitzvah, not only potter from the Oynish, you potter from the Chiyuv Mitzvah, then there shouldn't be any Tashlumin. So why doesn't the Gemara raise the issue on the Mishnah? That when it says whoever was honest on Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni should depend on the Machlokes HaTanaim, whether Pesach Sheni is a regular b'fnei atzmo or Tashlum and Larishayin. So that's where Rabbi Chana says, you see from the Mishnah, it doesn't depend. See, it doesn't depend. Why? He wasn't honest. Honest means he was honest that he couldn't do the mitzvah. If he was honest, it was Man Pesach Rishon. By the time it comes Man Pesach Sheni, he's not an honest. So he's not an honest. So he's Nishkin honest. So let him bring on Pesach Sheni. Honest means if you're honest from the beginning to the end, through and through. If you weren't honest, it was Man Pesach Sheni. So that's not called honest. That's what he points out. Then it's not called honest. So that's what he says. If that person was an honest, he couldn't daven mincha. He was under surgery from before Chatzos till the middle of the night. He couldn't daven mincha, he was honest. So the shayla is whether he have tashlumin. So that's a machlokes achrayim and orachayim, whether you have tashlumin. So he says, from this Mishnah, you see that you do have tashlumin. It's not called honest. You were only honest bizman mincha. If you're not honest bizman tashlumin on my rib, so it's not called honest. Because the Gemara didn't raise the issue on the Mishnah. Gemara should have said, the Mishnah is only good if you hold that Pesach Sheni is regal b'fnei atzmo. But if you hold Pesach Sheni is tashlum and the Rishon, it was an anus, so they should have raised the issue. So you see that it's a non-issue. You see that if the person was anus, bizman achir, but he wasn't anus, bizman, the second man, this man of tashlumin, then he's mochev to do the mitzvah. He's not called anus. By definition, it's not called anus. That's Rabbi Chana Tainus. It's not called anus. The Pesach Rishon was always brought every year after the Tom Shel Bein Abayim. That was the one and only korban that was brought in the Mizbech after every year, year after year, after Tom Shel Bein Abayim. Pesach Sheni never says explicitly, was it brought after Tom Shel Bein Abayim? Always like the normal Seder of all other korbanos. Aleh Hashlem Kol HaKorbanos Kulim. You have to bring all the korbanos before the Tom Shel Bein Abayim. So that's what the Mishlam Melech quotes at Tosfos Yeshanim, has that suffix. But the Pesach Sheni was brought after Tom Shel Bein Abayim or before. Apparently, it's not Mefurish in the Gemara. Yeah, Rashi comments on Chumash on the Pasuk Derech Rechoka that there's a Loma Nakud, there's a Nakuda on the Hay of Derech Rechoka to teach you that it doesn't really mean that he's so far away from the Beis Hamikdash. He's only Chutz Las Kupas Hazor. He's just in Yerushalayim. He's in Yerushalayim. That's called Derech Rechoka. If you're not in the Hazor, that's called Derech Rechoka. There is such an opinion in the Tanakh, but we happen not to paskin like that. Rashi and Chumash is quoting an extreme opinion. But we don't paskin like that. We paskin, Derech Rechoka is Tezvav Mil. If you're far away, you draw a circle around Yerushalayim and Hamodim Milifnim, is derech kareivim min amadim velachutz. He draws a circle, and the radius of the circle is from Modi'in to Yerushalayim, that's Tezvav Mil, and then you draw the whole circle. So whoever is within that circle is called derech kareiva. So he's considered, he does relate to Yerushalayim. So if he calls up by telephone and he says, bring a Korban Pesach on my behalf, I'm going to be there tonight. I'm not there now, I'm traveling, I'm walking, I'm shopping, I'm down in business, I can't come right now, but I'll be there tonight. I'll come to Chat Chum, I'll make it by tonight, I'll eat the Korban Pesach. So if he's within that circle at Chatzais, that's how most of the Rishonim learn. You judge it at Chatzais. The Rambam has a whole different sheet. The Rambam says you judge in the morning at Alois HaShachar, is he derech kreivo or derech rechoka to Yerushalayim? So Rashi doesn't learn like that. The Rambam is a difficult sheet. Rashi learns you judge at Chatzais, because the Chiv Korban Pesach begins at Chatzais. The Rambam obviously thinks the Chiv Korban Pesach begins at Alois HaShachar, the Zman Kiyom HaMitzvah only begins after Chatzais. The Chiv begins at Alois HaShachar to bring the Korban Pesach after Chatzais. But Rashi learns pshat, you determine at Chatzais, is the person derech kreivo? So he relates to Yerushalayim, his makam, he plans to be there in Yerushalayim. So it's considered as if his makam is now Yerushalayim. So you can bring a Korban Pesach on his behalf. But if he at Chatzais, he's chutz li Yerushalayim, so then he doesn't become a chuyiv in Korban Pesach, even though he arrives later. He goes by car. This Tezvav Milin, how did they decide that the shir is Tezvav Milin? So the Gemara says, it depends on Mahalachodim Beinani Bayoim, how far can a person walk? So here it depends from Chatzais, because you're not mechuvim Korban Pesach before Chatzais. It depends from Chatzais till the Shkia, because after the Shkia you can't bring the Korban Pesach. So how far can a person walk by foot? If he's going to walk the average walk, unless he's a marathon runner, he's walking normally, so he's going to walk from Chatzais noon, exactly noon, till Shkia. The Gemara says Tesvav Milan. Why do you measure by the average person walking from Chatzais till Shkia? What if the guy will go on a horseback or a camelback? So the Gemara says, no, that's halacha. It depends on Adam Beinani walking. So that's a big question. That was a question in the 1700s. The Talmidim of the Nadiv Yehuda had a big machlekes about that. The Tshuva Me'ahava was one of the Talmidim, and others had a machlekes. Is that halacha l'moshe misina kach ne'amar halacha, that it depends? Tesvav Mil? Depends on Adam Beinani walking. Or do you say no? Bizman bayis rishon, bizman bayis sheni, the average traveler, the majority of the people traveling would go by foot. So it depends on the average traveler. Bizman hazeh, hardly anybody's going to go by foot. 99% of the travelers are going to go by bus or by car or by train or by helicopter or by private jet or something. No one's going to go by foot. So maybe the din depends on the average traveler. So maybe when the third Beis HaMikdash will be built, maybe the shear will be different. It'll no longer be Tesvav Mil. Maybe it'll depend on how the average traveler doesn't have a private jet. There are a couple of people have a private jet. The average traveler doesn't have a private jet, but the average traveler is not going to go by foot. He's going to go by bus or by train or something. The least expensive way of transportation. So maybe the din will change Lasi Lovoi. So this, okay, as Moshiach bet kumin, so we'll ask Moshe Rabbeinu what the din is. But how do we paskin today, le'esata? What do you mean, what's the relevance, bizman hazeh? So Tosfos and the Rif quote the halachas gedolos, that this is relevant with respect to Hilchas Avelos. Hilchas Avelos is relevant, bizman hazeh. The Gemara has a din, the Avelim are sitting Shiva, and one of their relatives didn't know that his parents died. He didn't know that anybody died. So he walks into the house in the middle of Shiva, and all of a sudden he finds that everybody's sitting Shiva. His sister died, his father died. So the din is in the Brice and the Gemara. Bomi Makam Karev, if he came from a Makam Karev and he finds out in the Beis HaOvel that someone died, so Mani Mohim. So he picks up where they are. Even if they're the morning of the seventh day of Shiva, and it's another 2 minutes, they're going to get up from Shiva. And he didn't know about anything. He comes in the morning and he finds out that they're just finishing Shiva. So that's it, he finishes Shiva with him. Money Mom said, that's only Bomi Makam Korev. If Bomi Makam Rachaik, then Mayna Liatzma, then he counts his own Shiva. So what's the definition of Makam Korev, Makam Rachaik? So Tosfos in the Rif, quote from the Halachas Gedolos, that Makam Korev is Yud Parsois. Where did they get the Yud Parsois? They got it from this Gemara by Korban Pesach. Then next to the last Perek, in Psachim, the last parak in Psachim is Arbe Psachim. Next to the last parak is all about the dinam of Tomei v'derech rechok, all the dinam of Pesach Sheni. Misha Hayatomei, that's the name of the parak, Misha Hayatomei. So the Gemara said, the Gemara works out the whole calculation. How did they arrive at this conclusion that it's Tesvav Mil? Menam Adim Alef name is Tesvav Mil. Because an Adam Benani will walk by foot from Chatzos to Lishkiya, Tesvav Mil. And why does it depend on that? It depends on one day's travel. If you're in a location at Chatzos, you can arrive within one day. So here the one day is only half a day, because the Chi of Korban Pesach begins at Chatzos, and you have to arrive before the Shkiya. Because you can't be makir of the Korban Pesach after the Shkiah. So here it's only Tesvav Mil. But again, to Avelus, the Bahak says, we go on the first statement that the Gemara says, Mahaloch Adam Beinani Bayayim Eser Parsos. A normal person, if he's walking, can walk 40 mil. Every parsa has 4 mil. An Adam Beinani can walk Eser Parsos Bayayim. So since one day's travel, a normal traveling for a person is Eser Parsos, so that's the din of Makam Karev. So if the person... If the Ovel was in a Makam Karev, and it comes to the Beis HaOvel, even the last day of Shiva, 2 minutes before they get up from Shiva, and then he finds out that the relative died, so then the din is that my name Mohim. The Maram Shik has a tshuva, where he discusses, see, Bizman HaGemar, there were no telephones, there were no fax machines, so he didn't know that anybody died. How's he supposed to know? Bizman HaGemar, that's highly unlikely. How is it possible? Of course he's going to know that someone died. So the Maram Shik also, they didn't have any telephones. It was the Talmud of the Chassam Sofer. So he didn't have any telephone, so he has the following shayla. A son came to visit his parents. He didn't know that someone died. He comes to the train station in their city, and they tell him, oh, your father died, and everybody's sitting Shiva. So he found out before he came to the Beis HaOvel and the train station. So what's the din? Is the din that my name Mohem or not? So he thinks that not. He thinks that this halacha, that Bomi Makam Karev, my name Mohem, only applies if the Adiyas are Avelus. By Avelus, the din is that until the Avel knows that someone died, so there's no Chiyuv Avelus. Strictly speaking, if I'm a doctor in a hospital, I know that someone died, and tonight's a wedding, I can go pick his son up and bring him to the wedding and dance with him. I won't tell him that his father died. He may be angry at me later on. Why didn't I tell him that his father died? But strictly speaking, there's no lif nevi l'sita mishal, because the son didn't violate any hilchas havelus. Kozman, the person doesn't know. There's no yediyas havelus. That's what Gemara talks about. Shmo kareva versus shmo rechoika. Did he find out about the death of the relative within 30 days of the death? Or did he find out after 30 days after the death? Because the chiyav havelus begins after yediyas havelus. Before yediyas havelus, before the shmiya, so there's no chiyav havelus at all. So that's what the Maram Shik claims. The only time you have this halacha of Bobi Makam Karev, Ma'ani Ma'am, it only applies in this rare case when the Yediyas Avelus, when he became, Ovel became aware of the Yediyas Avelus in the Beis HaOvel. But he thinks that if he found that in the train station, when he came to the city, and then it's a 5-minute walk till he gets home, he thinks till his parents' home. So then he thinks that the whole din of Makam Karev doesn't apply. Today, the whole din is used differently. So that's the shaila today. Does it only depend taka on Eser Parsos? That's all Eser Parsos. Eser Parsos is if a person would walk by foot, how far would he get in one day? No one today would walk Eser Parsos by foot. Even a poor person who can't afford it, he's also going to go by bus. He'll borrow some money. Who's going to go by foot? Nobody goes by foot. Non-climbers go by foot. But normal people don't go by foot. So that was the big machlekes in the 1700s. Did the din change bizman hazeh? Since today there are other forms of transportation, and the ruba of the people will use a form of transportation that can go by foot. So maybe the din changes. So that's what they say. Halachik de ramekol ba'ovel. When it comes to avelus bizman hazeh, we don't know what the din is. Machlekes among the talmidei ha'anoidi behuda, whether the din is halacha Moshe Mesinai of tesvav milin and eser parsoes. What do you say? No, it's not halacha Moshe Mesina that it depends on hoilach beregel. Hoilach beregel means the average traveler bizman habayis. So the average traveler bizman hazeh is not going to go by foot. So in that machlokes, the poskim say halacha k'tev ha'mekel ba'avu. When Mashiach will come and we'll build a Beis HaMikdash, we'll have to negotiate. We'll have to argue it out. We'll have to fight it out and determine what the din really is.
Isn't that a machlokes in the Matthias with Shannon's Gemara? That Rabbi's chatting halacha beregel ba'avu. The question is, does it depend on the average traveler?
is it halacha? Kach nemra halacha.
Rabbi says we don't say halacha. The Rabbi says we don't say halacha to make a law in such a situation.
Why? Just, you can say both ways. You can say elu b'elu. Why is it?
Why?
I mean, what did the Tana mean? Maybe the Tana himself didn't know what he meant. Tana, the days of the Tana, the average traveler went by foot. So the din was absolutely correct. So maybe the Tana who said it never gave a moment's thought to it. It tells about Milan and Esa Parsos and Shai.
Still not elu b'elu.
I don't know. Okay, I don't know. So that's why today people are very makel. People are makel as long as the Abel comes in the middle of Shiva. So even though he started Avelis a few days later, if he comes to the middle of Shiva. The question is, he started Avelis a few days later, but he heard about the Avelis already. According to the Maram Shik, the whole din doesn't apply. The whole din only applies if the Yediyas Avelis became aware of the death of the relative in the Beis HaAvel. So then I say my name on him, if he came in Makom Karev. But if he had Yediyas Avelis, they called him up on the telephone. But he knew about the Avelis. Well, for some reason or another, his Avelis began later. Let's say all the relatives live in New York, and then they're going to bury the body in Eretz Yisrael. So the body leaves by plane on Sunday. So the relatives who stay over here start on Sunday, because they took the body away. And then there's a strike in the airport. And then there's a strike, a grave digger strike. And then it takes 3-4 days till they bury the body in Eretz Yisrael. So he starts Avelis later. So he had his ideas Avelis. He's on his own. He should really count his own 7 days. The whole din doesn't apply in such a case. The Pashto says, Maram Shik writes, the whole din of Mani Amayim shouldn't apply in such a case. He didn't have ideas Avelis in the base of them. A discussion in Rishonim. So that's the din of Pesach Sheni in today's Sedra. We have the din of Pesach Sheni. The Pasuk, the Aras HaMeach, has a suffix regarding the Pasuk. It says, Elisha Shehu Tahor V'derech Lo Haya V'chod Dalasos on Pesach V'nichrasa. One who doesn't bring Korban Pesach is Chayav Koris. So it says, if he's not B'derech Rechayka, and if he's B'derech Rechayka, he's not Chayav in Korban Pesach. And he's not Tom, if he's Tom, he's not allowed to bring Korban Pesach. So then it says that he's Chayiv Koris. So the Aras HaMeach had a suffix. What if he's Tomei? The man is Tomei. But it's a Pesach Haba Betuma. Everybody's Tomei. It's a Pesach Haba Betuma. So is the one who's Tomei, who didn't bring Korban Pesach Rishon, is he Chayiv Koris or not? He could have brought the Korban Pesach on Pesach Rishon, even though he's Tomei. Because everybody's Tomei. It's a Pesach Haba Betuma. So do you take the Pasuk literally? Lisha Shehu Tahor V'nichrasa? But if he's Tomei, he's not Chayiv Koris. What do you say? No, if he's Tomei, he's not Chayiv Koris. If everybody else is Tohar, so it's a Pesach Haba B'Tahara. But if it's going to be a Pesach Haba B'Tumei Ben Kovako, so then he will be Chayiv Koris, because he could have participated in Korban Pesach, even in the state of Tumei. So the Aras HaMeach raises the suffix, because of the Loshon HaPasuk, the way the Pasuk says. And the Sefer Zer Avraham, where you have the correspondence, the Aras HaMeach had a daughter who married a businessman, a very learned businessman, Rabbi Avram Luftbier. So he used to carry, and then he died without any children, and the daughter died with no children. That was the end of the Aras HaMeach. The Aras HaMeach doesn't have any descendants. He only had the one daughter, and she died, and the son-in-law died. It was a big tragedy. So the Aras HaMeach was broken about that, that his only daughter, the son-in-law died, the daughter died, he never left any descendants. So this Rabbi Avram Luftbier, the son-in-law of the Aras HaMeach, used to correspond with Rabbi Menachem Zemba. So after he passed away, Rabbi Menachem Zemba felt bad, so he pulled out a sefer that's called Zer Avraham. This should be in place of the children that he never had. He never zechet had. Avraham Luftbier never had children. So this should be the Zer Avraham. So he has very strong letters. Rabbi Avraham Luftbier has very starker letters. Rabbi Menachem Zemba's letters are outstanding. They're out of this world. They're much stronger than his. But this businessman knew how to learn very well. So in the middle of that sefer, middle of that correspondence, he shows a Rashi from Maseches Brachas. Rashi writes beforehand that there is Koris, that there will be Koris, even though Isha Hu Tahor, he's not Tahor, but it's a Pesach Habo B'Tumah, so everybody's Tomei, and they're bringing anyway, so he will be Chayiv Koris. There's a Ibn Ezra in this pasuk which is not accepted. I think in the Zer Avrami points it is not accepted. Ibn Ezra says Isha Hu Tahor B'Derech Lo Haya. V'chodal la'asos ha'pesach. How do you translate v'chodal? He's sitting there in Yerushalayim and he doesn't bring Korban Pesach. That's the Pashim Shat. So the Ibn Ezra gives an interpretation. He goes to Derech Rechoka. He lives in Yerushalayim, and he doesn't want to bring Karb Pesach, so he does a stunt. He leaves Yerushalayim, and he goes outside of Modin. He goes Ben Adim Alachutz. So he says, the man is Chayiv Karis, because he in the normal course of events, he would have been Mechuyiv in Karb Pesach. And on Erev Pesach, the day before Erev Pesach, he traveled to Golan in order to be Potter from Karb Pesach. So the Ibn Ezra says, the man is Chayiv Karis. So the din of the Gemara says not so. The din says not chayiv koris in such a case. Al pi pasht is not chayiv koris. Then you have the machanas traveling, and you have at the end of the nesias hamachanas that they were traveling al pi Hashem yachnu al pi Hashem yiso es mishmaras Hashem shamara al pi Hashem biyad Moshe. The whole traveling was al pi Hashem yad Moshe. So we recite this phrase, the concluding phrase from that pasuk, when they lift up the Sefer Torah. We say, "V'zeh Tarshas HaMoshe l'tnei b'nei Yisrael, al pi Hashem yad Moshe." Rab Chaim Alojana raised an issue. The Vilna Gaon was very makbid on not reciting half psukim. The Gemara has a din in Megillah called Psukah Lai Paskei Moshe, Anan Lai Paskei, and not allowed to say an incomplete pasuk. So that's what we do all the time. Zosah Tarshas HaMoshe l'fnei b'nei Yisrael, that's a pasuk in Chumash Devarim. Al pi Hashem yad Moshe is just a concluding phrase over here. So Rab Chaim Alojana, the Vilna Gaon was very makbid, and Rab Chaim Alojana was also makbid mokpedis. So he had the practice either not to say Al pi Hashem yad Moshe, and sometimes he would say the whole pasuk. To say the whole pasuk, that it shouldn't be a kol psukah loy paskei moshe. That's what Rav Soloveitchik used to do, like Rav Chaim Alojna, to say the whole pasuk. Okay. The Gemara is talking about Kriyas HaTorah, yeah.
Why make
that jump? Yeah, I don't know. That's what we assume, that it's improper to recite an incomplete pasuk, even if it's not in the context of Kriyas HaTorah. When you say Kiddush, they say, Vayer Vayvaker, Yamashish, how can you start from Vayer Vayvaker? It's a half a pasuk. So that's what they used to start from the beginning. Vayard Kimis Kol Shurasim Hinitav Yod, Vayer Vayvaker, Yamashish. You start from the very beginning. They assume that it applies to other places as well. Yeah. It's a question, how do you know? Maybe it's only by the Kriyas HaTorah. Right after that, you have the din of Chatzotzris. So, the use of the Chatzotzris was L'Hairu HaShoa in the Midbar, when they were traveling, when they gathered together, the Rashi HaKohol. And then, part of the din is L'Doris. Yom Simchas Ma'adech Rashi HaShech Meskaitem Chatzotzris Al Olasechem. That's Chatzotzris Shal Migdosh. These are special Chatzotzris Shal Migdosh in conjunction with the Hakrovos HaKarbonos on special occasions. They had to blow Chatzotzris. The Mishnah says in Rosh Hashanah that on Rosh Hashanah we blow Shofar, and on the Tain Sibah you're supposed to blow Chatzotzris. That's also based on the Pasuk. V'chisavoy mochama bi'artzichem al atzar atzar eschem v'hariyosem Chatzotzris v'nizkartem levnei Hashem alokechem v'nushatem me'oivechem. So the mitzvah of Tkiyas Chatzotzris is we should be remembered by HaKadosh Baruch Hu Menashaitem Me'oidechem. So that's not only B'shas Melchama B'chisavah Melchama B'yatzachem, that's whenever you have any Tainus Tzibur, whenever there's a Tzoras HaTzibur, there's an epidemic or a plague or some major, there's a flooding and so on. Lav Dafke Melchama. Yeah, in the days of the Mishnah they used to blow Chatzotzris on any Tainus Tzibur. Days of the Rishayim episode, the Ramban writes in his drasha for Rosh Hashanah that in Tzarfaz they didn't blow shofar on Tainus Tzibur, but in Sfarad they did. They did blow shofar on Tainus Tzibur. They blow Chatzotzris on Tainus Tzibur, as it says in the Mishnah that you're supposed to on every Shas Tzora, they blow Chatzotzris. So the Mishnah has a Maseches Rosh Hashanah in Migdosh. We have a pasuk until him. B'chatzotzris v'kol shofar hariyu lefnei haMelech Hashem. So the Gemara understands from that pasuk v'chatzotzris v'kol shofar, whenever you have one, you have to have both. On Rosh Hashanah, when you have shofar, you have to have chatzotzris with it, and on a Tainus Tzibur, when you have chatzotzris, you have to. I said it wrong. On a Tainus Tzibur, when you have chatzotzris, you have to have shofar with it, and on Rosh Hashanah, that you have shofar, you have to have chatzotzris with it. The difference is, that on Rosh Hashanah the Baal Tekeh, the one who's blowing shofar, stands in the middle, the two chatzotzos min hatzdodim. And on a Tanis Sibur, that the Iker is the Tekeh's chatzotzos, so the one who's blowing chatzotzos stands in the middle, and the two who are blowing shofar stand to the right and to the left. And whichever is the Iker, mitzvah sayayim, on a Tanis Sibur, the chatzotzos, mitzvah sayayim. And on Rosh Hashanah, the shofar is mitzvah sayayim. So the one who's blowing, standing in the middle, the Ika mitzvah hayayim, he should be marich in his tekiah. The other should stop blowing in the middle. He should continue to blow to demonstrate, to indicate that that's the Ika mitzvah. So based on that pasuk in Tehillim, mechatzav sosu kol shofar hariyu, lifnei hamelach Hashem, only in Migdash. Lifnei hamelach means only in the Beis HaMikdash, not even in Yerushalayim. Only in Har HaBayis in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Sfasemis is bothered with Akasha. You look in the Gemara in Erechin, the Gemara lists off when are the special days in the year that you blow the Yom Simchas Mo'adechem Rosh HaChashech Miskaitem B'chatzotzos Alo L'Sechem, when you have the chiyuv to blow chatzotzos. So the Mishnah and the Braisa lists off, and then it tells you what other musical instruments they played, and it doesn't say that they blew shofar in conjunction with the chatzotzos. This is mamish in the Azara. This is Yom Simchas Mo'adechem Miskaitem Alo L'Sechem Al Sivcha Shama. This is mamish in the Azara. So isn't this in violation of the Dinah Maseches Rosh Hashanah? That in Mikdash kol makom sheyesh shofar yesh chatzotzos, kol makom sheyesh chatzotzos yesh shofar. How come over here on these special occasions, as Mchas Ma'adechem Rosh Chatzechem, they only blow chatzotzos, they didn't blow shofar? So he leaves it with a kash, he doesn't have a teretz. I thought maybe the teretz is that tkiyah shofar on Rosh Hashanah and tkiyah chatzotzos on the Tainus Tzibur are both a form of tefillah. Baharaya, that you blow shofar in the middle of the Shemana Esrei. You don't shake a lulav in the middle of the Shemana Esrei, that'll be a hefsik. You blow shofar in the middle of Shemana Esrei, so if it's a different mitzvah, it should be a hefsik. The answer is not a different mitzvah. The shofar on Rosh Hashanah is a form of tefillah, and the chatzotzos on the Tanis Sibur is also a form of tefillah. So Beis HaMikdash is kibesi beis tefillah yikari. Beis HaMikdash is the makom of tefillah. So in the Beis HaMikdash, whether on a Tanis Sibur, whether it's a chiyuv chatzotzos, on Rosh Hashanah, whether it's a chiyuv shofar, so you want to enhance the tefillah, so you want to have both. But v'yom simchas ma'adechem Rosh Hashanah miskaitem chatzotzos, that's musical accompaniment. So if you're going to blow a shofar together with the chatzotzos, you're going to ruin the music. Then you ask a musician what you should blow. You don't ask the rabbis. That halacha, kamakom sheyesh shofar yesh chatzotzos, kamakom sheyesh chatzotzos yesh shofar, that's only when the tekiah of the one that the Iker Chiyav is B'toris Tefillah, so you want to enhance the Tefillah in Beis HaMikdash, you want to have both. But if on Yom Simchas Mo'adechem, it's not B'toris Tefillah, it's B'toris music. So for musical purposes, the shofar is going to ruin the sound. That's what I thought the teretz should be to the kasha of the Sfasemis. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, Al Pi Kabbalah, I think he had sources in Kabbalah, it says, V'yam simchas ma'adechem, if it's a happy occasion, uskaitem, you blow a tekiah. V'chisavoy mochama bi'artzchem, al atzar atzar eschem, v'hari yoschem, you blow a trua. So the truth in the matter, you blow tekiah, trua, tekiah, like on Rosh Hashanah. You blow the same thing. So how come on a tainus, on an eis tzor, it says, v'hari yoschem, and V'yam simchas ma'adechem, it says, uskaitem? So he explained that the tkiya is a symbol of simcha u pshuta. We call it a pshuta. Pshuta lovena pshuta lachra. And the shvarim in the middle. And the trua is a simen of an eis tzara. So that's why chisavim chavim b'yartzachem b'hari yosim. So he explained api kabbalah that the pasuk says in Kavos v'alikim osas adam yosher v'heim abik shechish b'ynes rabim. The Baruch Shalom made man straight. So the pshuto lefanel represents the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man. The Hema and Bnei Adam drei, and they cheat in business, and they cheat on their wives, and they cheat on kashrus, and they do averes, all kinds of crooked activities, and they ruin themselves, they ruin their neshamas. So that's represented by the shvarim of the trua. Shvarim of the trua represents a broken person. That he's not straight anymore. He ruined himself. So there's always a possibility to do tshuva. So the pshuto lachreha, it represents the idea, the theme of doing tshuva. So that's why when you have an eis tzara, so you want to emphasize v'hari yosem, the trua. The tzaras come because we sin. So that's, we ruined ourselves. We were mekalkal. So that's why we have an eis tzara. And when it's a happy occasion, you have simchas ma'adechem, So then the ikir is the tkiya, sukaitim. Even though on all the occasions you're going to blow tkiya through a tkiya, but the ikir on the yom simcha is the tkiya, and the ikir on the estara is the trua. Abdei Nezer has a suffix regarding this din deraisa. If the enemy comes from Iran and they attack Khalilah and Eretz Yisrael, or they come from Egypt, or they come from Jordan and they attack, what if we decide to attack them? What if we decide that we want to, not a preemptive attack that they're about to attack us, we decide we want to wipe out, we want to expand Eretz Yisrael. So we want to take over Jordan, we want to take over Tel Euphrates, Eretz Yisrael Hashlema. We decide we want to, so do we blow Chatzetzus? We only start the war if we're pretty sure that we're going to win. We're not Meshugoy. You only initiate the war if you're pretty sure you're going to win. So is that considered the same as an Eis Tzara? It's not an Eis Tzara. We started the war because we think we're going to win. We think that we're more powerful than them. So that's what he writes. He's not sure because the Pasuk says, the enemy came to attack us. What if we go to attack them because we know that we're going to win? So he raises the question with respect to Mohammed's Midyon. In Parshas Matos, it says there in Parshas Matos, Kalei HaKodesh V'chatzotzos HaTrua B'yodoi. It says Eliezer, who went to the Mohammed? I forgot already. It says V'chatzotzos HaTrua B'yodoi. There's Pinchas ben Elazar HaKohen La'atzava Chalei HaKodesh V'chatzotzos HaTrua B'yodo. So the simple pshat is that Pinchas ben Elazar HaKohen went with the Chatzotzos HaTrua to blow Chatzotzos B'shas Melchama. That wasn't that they didn't come to attack the Jews, they went to attack Midian. Nekom Nikmas Hashem Eis HaMidyanim. So it sounds from the simple reading of the Pasuk, if that's what it means, Chatzotzos HaTrua was to fulfill this din of Chisavar Mechama, it sounds like the din applies, the mitzvah of Tkiyas Chatzetz applies, even if we're attacking the enemy, not that they're attacking us. So he gives some alternate pshat, I don't remember already how. He gives an alternate pshat that you could read the Pasuk differently in Parshas Matos, because from the Pasuk in Bahaloscha, it sounds that not. It sounds that the Chiv is only if they start up with us. Then the pasuk continues, weiter continues. The Erev Rav started the whole problem. Hasaf Suf Asher Bikirboy Hisavu Tavo VaYeshuva VaYifku Miachelena Bosa. The pasuk says the Erev Rav started this whole asik. Vilna Gaon quotes from the Zohar that LaAsid Lovet is going to be trouble from the Erev Rav right before Bias Hamashiach. Going to be a lot of trouble from the Erev Rav. The Erev Rav Moshe Hamashiach is not going to be the Umas Shabo his Geyer, it's going to be among Bnei Yisrael. They're going to be those who will not, the Ami Haaretz, and those who don't care for Halacha, those who are not Makbed on Shmiras on Mitzvahs, that's going to be the Erev Rav. Different kinds, he writes, different levels, five different levels of Erev Rav. Just like in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, just like in the days of the Midbar, there was an Esek, but the Erev Rav, Salasi Lavai, is also going to be an Esek with the Erev Rav. Then the Pasuk says, when the Erev Rav wound everybody up, so everybody's crying, Moshe Rabbeinu sees, Vayishma Moshe Sam, Boicha Lemishpachosav. So Rashi quotes from the Gemara, Boicha Lemishpachosav, Boicha Aliske Mishpachos. They were crying, oi, what do we need this whole Torah for? When we were non-Jews, so the list of prohibited marriages was very short. The relatives that you're not allowed to marry is very short. Now that Maimon Hasina is such a long list, can't marry my sister-in-law, I can't marry two sisters. Whoa, when I was a guy, before Maimon HaSinai, life was much more pleasant. I could marry, I was freer to marry anybody I want. So they were crying about the prohibited marriages. So that's what the Gurarie by the Maral Miprag has on this Rashi, his famous comment. He says, why were they, the Dora Midbar, why were they prohibited from marrying all their relatives? There was Gershon Izgak, Kukot and Shinola Dami. Maimon HaSinai was a Geris. So Kukot and Shinola Dami, so what are they crying about? I mean, they're crying that their children won't be here. They can marry anybody they want. Kachat and Shanala dummy. They're not related. The next generation, they're crying because of their children. That's a joke. They cry because it bothers them. But why don't you say Gershon has got kosher Noladami? So that's what the Maharal Prague has, this famous comment, it doesn't apply. Maimon Hasina Geris, you don't apply the rule of Kekotin Shanoladam. So the Maharal Prague gives a reason that we don't understand the reason. He says, because it was Kof Aleim Harki Gigus. It wasn't the Geris Midas of Beratzen, it was Balkorchom. So therefore what? That's what Rabbi Yosef Engel has in several of his Svarim. He writes about this. He quotes Maharal Prague, he says he thinks that's a Doichik. What's the difference? Kotten Shanel Adam is because you have a Ratzin to be Mizgar. That's what makes Kotten Shanel. It does make sense. So he gives a few different suggestions, fancy, highfalutin suggestions. And we said over from Rav Soloveitchik, a different shot, a different reason why you did it. Kotten Shanel Adam didn't apply Ma'amin HaSinai.
It was against the Shubu Lachim Ha'alechim. They were able to go back to their American.
That's what the Meshech Chochma claims, that the Mokker. He says the Chasam Sarvin Chidushim and Maseches Avodah raises the question: where did the Tanaim come up with this idea, such a wild idea, Kekotin Shanel Adam, without any Mokker and Chumash, no Mokker and Tanach? How did they come up to say such a wild idea? So he says the Mokker is Shuvah Lechem Yolechem. After Maimon HaSinai, everybody's going to allow to go back to their wives, even those who were married to women who, after Maimon HaSinai, became Moser, because Kekotin Shanel Adam. That's what he says. So we usually assume that that's not correct, that Maimon HaSinai we didn't apply Kekotin Shanel Adam, like the Maharal Prague, for whatever reason. So Maharal Prague says something about, because it was a Geris Bal Korcha. Rabbi Yosef Engel writes, it's a Dechik, he doesn't know what he's driving at. Why should that be it? So he has very fancy, highfalutin explanations. We said from our Soloveitchik, an easier explanation. Why Kekotin Shanel Adam didn't apply. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Gemara has a comment on this, because there were the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Lamed on Mad Aleph, the first daf in Reb Lezer de Milo. So the Gemara says, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the mitzvah of Milo to Avram Avinu, he was very happy, very thrilled, very excited, and he was mekayim the mitzvah b'simcha gedoyla. So kol mitzvah shekibel aleihem b'simcha, adai mekayim mosa b'simcha. Whenever we have a b'smila, we make a party, and everybody comes, and everybody participates, and it's mole simcha. And because the mitzvah of marriage, because of the Isser of Arayis, called mitzvah shaluk kibbal aleim v'simcha, so that's why, l'dari daris lekik suba de l'ramim be'tigra. Whenever there's a wedding, there's always some kind of a fight or another between the mechutonim. And that's a punishment, because originally, at Maimon HaSinai, it was b'chal l'mishpachosa. The people were bellyaching, the people were complaining, they were not happy about that mitzvah that was given to them. So because initially they weren't happy, that's why there's a punishment l'daris, always going to be a machloikas. The Chas and Kala have to be careful not to get involved. The parents will fight with the other parents, let the parents fight it out. But the Chas and Kala shouldn't get involved, or the other one, their spouse, will never forgive them. I had to take a stand against my mother, against my father. Let the parents fight it out. They tell that the Haflor and the Rebbe Reb Shmelka from Nigelsberg were brothers. They were both Talmidim of the Rebbe Reb Ber, the Mezritcha Magid, who was the Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov. So they were both, that was in Eastern Europe, in Poland, they were both invited at the same time to become Rabbanim in Western Europe. Very strange. So the Haflor became the rabbi in Frankfurt with all the Yekas. And he couldn't say over, well, he writes in his head, he couldn't say over one word of Hasidus from the Baal Shem. He was very upset about that. They weren't, the Yekas weren't interested in any Hasidus. You had to act, in Frankfurt, you have to go like the Yekas, you had to act like a Yekka. And the Rebbe Reb Shmelke, his brother, became a Rav in Nikolsburg, in Austria, I think, also in Western Europe, also there. So they became Mechutanim later. Their children married each other, cousins married each other. So they loved each other. They got along, they had nothing to fight about. So at the wedding, one of them got up and he said, the Chazals say that there's a punishment, that Lekkaksuba del Rami Betigra, there's always a fight. I'm going to pick the fight now. So he says, I hold that I got the better half of the deal. Because my child married my brother's daughter. Ah, my brother's such a tzaddik, such a big goy, such a talmid chacham. I got the better half of the deal. So the brother got up and said, no, I got the better half of the deal. So that's what they were fighting about. They wanted to be yoytzer the Gemara, that you have to have a machlaikas by the chasana. So that was the machlaikas. Who got the better half of the deal? Then the Rabbanu Shalom said, Moshe Rabbeinu says, I can't take it anymore. I'd rather die. Rabbanu Shalom, let me die. So Rabbanu Shalom said, I'm not going to let you die. Gather together a Sanhedrin of 70 people. So all together, instead of you being one person, everything will be on your shoulders. It'll be on the shoulders of 71 people, and it'll be easier for you. You'll have another 70 people that'll take care of part of the problems. The Gemara has a machlekes whether this is the Sanhedrin. The Gemara has a machlekes is Moshe Rabbeinu part of the Sanhedrin, so the Sanhedrin has to be 71. Oh no, 70 people in Sanhedrin. Moshe Rabbeinu is a chief rabbi. He's not part of the Sanhedrin. We assume that Sanhedrin is 71, not 70. Machlekes atanoim in the beginning of Masechah Sanhedrin. So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that Al Pidin, you see from the Chumash, this was the first Yotzai Drasha. Al Pidin, you see in the Chumash that there are two dinim, the status of the Sanhedrin, it plays two different roles. And today's Seder it says that Sanhedrin is Asher Yadayti came Ziknei Ha'om, the Shoitrov, that they're the elders of the nation and they represent the nation. They have their pulse, they know the pulse of the people. So whenever you have to have Das HaTzibur, there are halachas that depend on Das HaKohol. So when you ask the Sanhedrin, whatever they say, that's called Das HaKohol. You don't have to take a poll of what the people say. Then you have in Parsha Shoftim, you have to have a Sanhedrin in Yerushalayim, that's a Sanhedrin who paskin shailas. That's not Beturis. See, the Congress represents the people. And the Supreme Court doesn't represent the people. They say what the law is, based on the Constitution, what the law is. So by us, the Sanhedrin is both the Congress representing the Tzibur, as well as the Supreme Court, they paskin, not representing. So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, there are some halachas that depend. Different halachas require Bez Nagodol. Some of them require Bez Nagodol Beturis Das Reif HaTzibur, and some of them require Bez Nagodol to give a psak from the chief Sanhedrin, to give a psak halacha. Then Nafkaminus La Halacha. When they chose the 70 Zekanim, so they all acquired Nevuah. The Atzalti Min HaRuach Asher Alecha. The Samti Aleihem. The Koyach HaNevuah that Moshe Rabbeinu had floated over to the others. Elder Nemeida didn't show up. So it wasn't the Atzalti. And nonetheless, they became Nevi'im. So apparently, the two ways to become another, you become another on your own, or your Koyach HaNevuah is from somebody else. So Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolius published several hespedim that he delivered on different occasions, different tzaddikim passed away. So one of the hespedim, he explains what was going on in Sefer Melochim. When Elisha HaNavi, Eliyahu HaNavi is about to die, and Elisha HaNavi requests of him, Pishnayim Beruchacha, I would like to have twice the Koyach HaNevuah that you have. So Eliyahu HaNavi tells him, if you see the way I go up in the fiery chariot to heaven, and you won't collapse, then your wish will be granted. And if you won't see the way I go up, then your wish will not be granted. Why did it depend what he's going to see when he goes up in heaven? What's going on? So he said, he interprets the very difficult psukim there. So he interprets what happened as follows. After the Navi goes up to heaven, so all of the other B'nai HaNavim are looking for the Rebbe. And they're fainting and they're chalashing and they can't figure out what's going on. So he said, because the other Talmidim of Eliyahu HaNavi, their Koyach HaNevuah was Mikoyach Eliyahu HaNavi. Once he's no longer here, so they lost their Koyach HaNevuah. So they were fainting. So that's what Eliyahu tells Elisha. If you will faint, if you will not see me go up in heaven, if you're going to faint, that means that your Koyach HaNevuah stems from me. It's V'atzalta Min Ruach Asher Alecha, V'samti Aleihem. So then you don't stand the chance of having Pishnah. How can you have double the Koyach HaNevuah that I have? But if you'll be able to see me go up in heaven, you won't faint, you won't be like the other Talmidim that I have, then that shows that your Koyach HaNevuah is independent. It's not that it's a chelek of my Koyach HaNevuah. So then it's possible for you to surpass my Koyach HaNevuah. So I give you a bracha, it should be Pishnai, it should be twice as great. And then that's what happened. When he went up in the fiery chariot, he didn't faint. So that indicates that his Koyach HaNevuah was independent. So in the middle of that hespit, so he said, that's what it appears over here. The other Zekanim, the other 68 Zekanim, was V'atzalta Min Ruach Asher Alecha, V'samti Aleihem. It was somehow, their Koyach HaNevuah came from Moshe Rabbeinu. And the two elders, Elder and Meida, their Koyach HaNevuah was independent. Okay, we got to stop. The next, the end of the Sedra is coming up in Yevamos, that's what we're up to. That a Mitzorah Mukhlot is Ishkish Lameis. So we'll do it on B'li Neder on Sunday. Sunday B'li Neder will... We'll learn Yevamos. Sunday's a normal day. So we'll learn